There you go. Perfect. Yeah, that's good enough.
Travis, you on board?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm just trying to think how to answer it. I guess I'll have to let you know next time I bang a guy in a video game. Super gay!
Hello and welcome to Interactive Distractions, episode number 220.
Hi.
My name is Christopher Keough, and I'm here with that sultry voice, Jeff Chorney.
What up?
And Travis Bale. I'm bomb.
Travis Bale. Oh, I see what you did there. I
that must have been
you
a callback.
Screwed up
there must have been a callback from last show, right?
Yeah, that's it why was. It took me a second. Yes. Yeah.
Glenn told me I had to do it, otherwise I didn't have a hair on my nuts.
Okay, well, good. It's good to know you have a nice frothy sack. It's good to know that.
Frothy? It's like a cappuccino sack.
Cappuccino sack.
Watch what you I say about it. My sack.
Hey, man.
Welcome to the show. Tonight we are talking about... what are we talking about? We're talking about cross-game play. Cross-play. That's what I was going to say. It's going to be a long night. Before that, we're going to do some distractions and news, and then afterwards we'll do new releases, listener email, and a new question of the week. Before that, let's go around and see how everyone's doing. Travis, what is up, dude?
Hey, not much, man. Okay, I'll break the news, everybody. I know you guys were cheering my name when I said, you know, I'm out of GameStop, but just when I thought I was out, they pulled me back in, like the Godfather or some
shit
like
leave,
that.
Can't leave, man. Like
so,
game.
Yeah, I went back and everything, but I'm only going back
Come back
as a...
to work or you will never play a video game again.
Basically. I was lost. You know, GameStop wasn't in my life for about 3 or 4 weeks, and I was like, I don't know what to do with myself. Once it gets in your blood, you gotta go with it. But I went back as a an assistant manager instead of a store manager. Oddly enough, I'm making more money.
How does that work?
Well, because when you're a salary person, you always work more hours, and when you break down the hourly pay, you don't make nearly as much. So on a 40-hour basis,
on an hourly basis, you're making more.
I'm actually making about $3.50 more. An hour.
You're not working as many hours, probably.
Not as many hours, not nearly as many. Yeah. But what I'm doing with that extra spare time, the extra 15 hours, starting this summer, I am going back to school.
Good on you, dude.
That's cool.
Yeah, going back to school. I'm going for my marketing degree. That's something that I've wanted to do for about 2 or 3 years. But Megan and I have decided a life-changing event. We kind of decided that, you know, there's not... not terribly too much. I mean, we have family here and everything in Georgia, but there's not terribly too much that's holding us here. We feel that there's staying here. There's just finality in our life. We've been talking with some friends that live over there. We've been talking with MC Wilson, and it's a place that her and I both agree on that we were maybe pushing towards a 4 or 5 year plan. But we're looking into moving to San Francisco. It's a life change. It's a big life change. You know, financially. Culturally, it's a whole nother world out there, but just, we've been doing our research and I think it's something that, you know, her and I have not been as motivated to do something. We've been together for 8 years and I can't think of another thing aside from getting married that we decided that, you know, this is a change that we are 100% going to do. We give ourselves 4 or 5 years to make it happen because, I maybe have a full semester of college under my belt, and that's it. So I will have to finish up. So going back to school, I will be looking at about 12. You know, still working full time. So it's going to be a rough time for me. The next few years are going to be really rough. It's going to be, you know, really nonstop for me. But if I take you know, fall, summer, and spring semesters, just do school nonstop while I'm working and making money, I can finish college in 3 years. Maybe pushing it 3 years and an extra semester. And I can finish school and then we can start looking towards, you know, getting a job and everything, out there. And, You know, one of the big pushes for me is, you know, I love marketing. I love taking a product that I believe in and selling it to people. You know, that's why I do kind of like GameStop in that sense, because I just love talking about video games and saying, this is why you need to have this video game. Cause I just love that, the feeling of selling something. And with the ability, you know, and half the reason that I'm so motivated in this is because, you know, I never, you know, I've always wanted a job in video games, and Indus has, you know, you guys gave me the shot at Indus, and, you know, I'll forever always be grateful with it, because it always gave me a taste of what it's like to be in that industry. You know, we've been able, all of us have been able to cover events. We've been able to do stuff like that. So it all has given us that taste of something that we've always wanted to do. But with getting my marketing degree and moving out to San Francisco, you know, within the next 4 or 5 years, you know, that could possibly lead to a reality for me.
Yeah, it could.
You know, so, I mean, that's something that I'm shooting for. It's a main motivation for me. So, it's going to be an exciting, but very, very, very hard and stressful, next few years getting there.
No doubt. And so, but you know what? It's something that, I mean, I am of the opinion that, you know, this, in this time, in this day, college is almost necessary.
It is. Yeah. Well, I learned that three weeks of unemployment.
Yeah, yeah.
That was a hard 3 or 4 weeks, man. It was,
and you know what? I'm saying this in all seriousness. I'm not trying to take a jab or anything, but your foot's in your mouth now, because, you know, 3 or 4 weeks ago you were like, I don't understand how hard it is.
Oh, that's
hard,
right,
to get a job.
Yeah.
And now you know.
Yeah, you know? I was very cocky and halfway ignorant, because I thought it was easy to get a job. You know, I had an interview under my belt before I even decided to put my 2 weeks, you know, and I got cocky. I was like, I've never gotten an interview and not gotten a job. And of course, this was the time it happened.
Yeah. And, so, but that's the thing. It's like with something like a bank, the competition is huge with something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it's, you know, I'm not trying to portray that you're not, you know, you don't have a chance of getting that job, but, you know, one dude just has to be a little bit better. And, you know, for a bank job, there's probably, you know, X number of applicants, and it's got to be in like the 40s or 50s.
Yep.
So, you know, it's tough to get into.
I
interviewed for a bank job once when I was in college, and I didn't get it either.
Right.
You know, and it was just a situation that it was, you know, less experience. And I was in that cocky mode too. I thought I had it nailed. You know, and I, you know, I didn't get a call back, and
to be honest, the bank industry, it's, I'm not sure what it's like there, but here it's pretty much, you have to know somebody who already works there. It's, you go to the, like, people in the bank, every single person I've ever met in the bank, no matter what department it is, branch, whatever, they all have some other family member working there, or did at some point.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very difficult.
They like to hire, like, kind of like, internally. Like,
I mean, why wouldn't you want to work at a bank? Dude, banks are closed like 89 days out of the year. You know?
Pretty much. Pretty much.
It's like there's 365 days in the year. Half of that time, banks are closed. I mean, come on.
Not quite, but yeah.
I know. I'm exaggerating, of course. Yeah. But, you know, and then, you know, it's you know, the whole thing
bank
with bankers'
government.
Hours
yeah.
and stuff like
yeah.
that. I mean, it's,
yeah. it's know, awesome they, hours.
Yeah. yeah.
And, for the most part.
But yeah, I mean, it's really hard to break into. So,
yeah.
I mean, don't sweat it. Don't feel bad, but, you know.
I don't feel bad at all. It led us to this revelation to, like, you know, what Megan and I want to do going forward. And again, public props. I mentioned him earlier, but public props to MC Wilson. He's been a lot of help putting some things in a retrospect. That's a down to earth guy, so he'll just tell it how it is. You know,
absolutely.
So, you know,
yeah,
talking
really
about don't. The how expensive living over there is, giving me some insight on some, you know, cool places, some pros and cons about living in certain places and everything.
And,
so,
and there's suburbs too that you can live in too. Because,
exactly.
You know,
yeah.
Like
yeah,
my in-laws have family out in oh shit, I can't remember the name of the city. Starts with a P, I think, and I can't remember, but it's literally like half an hour away from the city. And it's,
yeah.
you know, the thing is that traffic in and out of the city is as bad as here, if not worse,
yeah.
you know, but you know, it's the things that you have to do. I mean, you gotta make sacrifices, and you have
yeah.
to, you know, if you're gonna work in the city, you've got to make those sacrifices.
Yeah, and for but for, and, you know, but for the possibility of working for a dream, my dream. That's to me, that's it's worth it.
Yeah, so, absolutely.
Just gotta work
and
hard.
You'll learn something about marketing because you thought that Sony had good marketing a couple weeks back. So maybe you'll finally learn something.
Apparently, I have a lot to learn.
Yeah,
apparently I do. But that's it for me, guys. Jeff, drop some knowledge on me. Where are you moving to in 5 years?
Where am I moving to in 5 years? I have no idea. I did actually think about going back to school, but it was either for marketing or like PR type shit.
Right.
I just haven't really pulled the trigger. I actually really haven't looked into it deep enough because I'm the kind of guy who's like, fuck, when am I going to find the time for this? And really, I can't afford to like work part-time or anything like that, so that kind of sucks. But something I always thought of, but you know, I got to actually look at it for real one day because I don't want to be at a bank for the rest of my life, let's put it that way.
Right, right.
But, I mean, it's good. For the most part, knocking wood, is pretty good security and stuff, and there's a lot of room to move, but not really my thing.
Yeah, makes sense.
Now, much is up, man. Not since last time we recorded. I don't know what I did on that weekend, so that's probably a good thing, I guess.
It may or may not be.
honestly, I'm seriously drawing a blank. I can't even remember what I did on the weekend, because we recorded on Friday last week, too. So I'm pretty sure after we recorded, I think I played Street Fighter until probably like 3 o'clock.
Did we record on Friday? Yeah, we recorded Friday.
It might have been like, I think I'm pretty sure I played Street Fighter with Scott Sauer from The Goo till something like 3 or 4 in the morning or something like that. But, and then Saturday, I can't freaking remember. But I think it was kind of chill, actually. It wasn't, like, something crazy or nothing like that.
Gotcha.
But, yeah, man, nothing new here. Chris, what about you?
Well, since we're talking on the school tip, I've actually been thinking about how I'm going to go about trying to get my MBA.
Oh, nice. Get that master's.
I'm in a situation right now where at my job, you know, I mean, besides the fact that, you know, sometimes I feel like I don't want to be there anymore. I mean... I love my work. I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm having a great time doing what I'm doing right now because we have this, you know, we're expanding into an international market right now. And for the past, 2-3 months, it's been designing, changes to our system to handle, moving into the international market. And it's been a blast because I'm getting to do what I really like to do with like software architecture and that kind of thing. But the problem is that, right now, I'm kind of stagnant. I'm pretty much where I'm gonna stay unless I, you know, get into the business side of things as well. And I really want to get my MBA. I've wanted to for a while, and I've been trying to think of a way that I could do classes for my MBA and still work full time at my job. And I'm starting to think about like if there are online programs available to do this and that kind of thing. Georgia State is an option for me because they have a North Campus that's literally like 2 or 3 miles from me. So that's an option. So I've been thinking about that too. I mean, it's been years that I've been thinking about doing this, but now I'm really starting to focus, especially considering it's a situation where, you know I've got my second child on the way. You know, I know that if I'm going to do it, it needs to be sooner rather than later because time is not going to get any easier to come by.
That's true.
So,
if you want to, man, I'm sure, you know, a lot of people that, you know, have gone through their masters, but you know, email Megan, you know, she did it with a full-time job. Granted, no kid, but well, she did have to take care of me during that time as well, but regardless,
she's still doing that, right? Anyway. So
she's still doing that basically.
She can be making your lunches and shit when you go back to school.
She'll be driving me to school actually.
So, yeah. Have a little Transformers
actually,
lunch.
You're like actually in one of her classes.
Yeah, basically.
She's teaching him English.
This is how
that works. Hopefully I'll edge to the top 50 percentile in the class.
Nice.
Yeah, that's crossing your fingers,
keep your,
though.
Keep your fingers
But, yeah,
crossed,
seriously, yeah. Email her, though, because she did it with a full-time job. You know, teachers work, you know, they work about 55, 60 hours a week, you know.
Oh, yeah, no
on
doubt.
Top of,
teachers
on top
are
of the, things.
The least appreciated profession in this country.
Yeah. And she got her MBA going through that. So, I mean, by all means, email her. She'll give you a bunch of cool tips and everything. I think you can do it, man.
Yeah, my cousin Lisa, she's an executive producer over at CNN, and she went and got hers while she was working full-time. But this is like when I was still in high school. She was doing this and I actually helped her pass the GRE. So,
oh, wow. Nice.
Cause she needed help on the math portion and math was always my strong point. So I was actually helping her with the math portion of the GRE. So, you know, I'll probably have to go to her and get help on the English portion of the GRE, but, yeah, I mean, that's pretty much it.
So
but,
kids, what have you learned from this? Stay in fucking school.
Stay in school. Yeah. Goddammit.
And go. We want to thank college. Everybody to listening to Brewing Up Light.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
Can we make it interactive distractions out? Next?
I was gonna say, cut this whole conversation out. Put it in Brewing Up. We'll put in like jokes and shit in between, and then there you go. Boom.
I have nothing to talk about when we record. Like, shit. There goes our show.
No, we'll do the same thing. We'll just make fun of you in some stupid ways. While
yeah,
you're
it'll
doing
just
it,
be just, it'll
know.
Just be Glenn instead of me. There you go. But yeah, I mean, besides that, you know, we're just getting ready for the new baby coming, and we've got he has a new name, so we're calling him Emrys right now. So if it's a girl, we have a different name, but you know,
Emrys.
Right now, we're calling him Emrys.
I have this idea that you had absolutely no say in that name.
No, I did.
Oh, really? Because I just feel you have this like Italian name. Like I want to see like a Tony or a.
Actually,
you know, a
we're
Pauly
talking about
or...
we're talking about the middle name being Anthony. So Emrys Anthony.
I think Anthony's like the best name in the world for a guy. That's just me.
I love the name and
I think it's cool.
Well, as much as we can debate about it,
because
is...
my uncle was named Anthony, and he was a very incredible person, and he passed away several years ago. But so yeah, I mean it's up in the air. But enough of that. Let's talk about some games.
Yeah,
there's a lot of stuff to talk about. So Travis, you weren't here last week, so let's start with you.
Okay. So I've been seeing this game on Twitter, like everybody talking about it.
Are you gonna say Journey?
Cold no, I did not jump into Journey yet. I'm not ready for that kind of experience. I actually experienced another. Experience in a game called Dear Esther on the PC. Okay, this game, it's not even a game. I'm not even going to call it a game. It's very similar to, like, you know, the idea of it is very similar to a flower, as in you're playing it, but it's not really gamey. You're just kind of going through the experience. Okay. So what it is, basically, you're this guy. You're on this island. There's no explanation of how you got there. There's nothing you do except you walk around and you explore this island. And as you explore the island, there is text that keeps on popping up. And the text, it's voice acted, so you can read it and listen to it at the same time. And it's basically a guy writing letters to this woman named Esther. Starting off, you don't know who your guy is. You don't know who Esther is. You don't know the other people that the narrator is talking about, a couple other characters that are in the story. And in the almost four-hour experience... you still don't know who those people are. It's one of those things where they want you to draw your own conclusions. And I can get that. Like, you know, going to a game like Flower, you can kind of draw your conclusions about what the developer was trying to say about, you know, nature versus, you know, technology and what that can do to, you know, it's kind of like, you know, showing appreciation in nature and, you know, sometimes, you know, technology and man will just, you know, destroy the shit out of it. And you kind of got that. It's like, okay, you know what? I see where this came from. You know, Limbo, same type of deal. You know, that's more of a game than anything. But, you know, at the end of the game, you kind of draw your own conclusions. Like, okay, was this real? What is happening? Did your character find, you know, the ultimate purpose? Did you find your goal? Or was it, you know, something that is left to the imagination? This game does that, times 10. Because I beat the game last night. I played in one sitting. I beat the game last night, and I'm still thinking about it, but not in a good way. I'm at the point where I'm thinking about it. It's like, okay, it was 4 hours, and
I'll never get that 4 hours back.
I'll never get that 4 hours back because I have no clue what's going on. I really, really thought about it. I was like, I have no clue what these things are. Because when the guy's speaking, he's speaking in, you know, hyperbole, and it's kind of like, it could be a whole bunch of different things. And when you're going across the island, you know, you're going, you know, through trails, you're going through cliffs.
Yeah, you might want to explain what the game is. Cause what exactly are you doing?
You're walking around an island. That's it. You walk around an island. You don't interact with anything. You walk a path. Okay. And as you reach certain points in a path, the narrator speaks up via these letters that your narrator is writing to this woman named Esther. That's the game.
Okay.
That's it. But I've been getting a lot of buzz, you know, on the Twitters, and it's getting some fairly decent reviews. And I just, you know what, I like it, but it's $10. I don't know if it's worth it. Because, you know, I thought about it all day today, but not, like I said, not in a good, you know, when a game, like, makes you think, and it's like, man, I really enjoyed that. I've been thinking about it all day.
You were more pissed off about it, kind of?
I was more pissed. I was like, I spent $10 for that. Like, now, let me get you this. The game is running...
What could I have done with that $10 as you, like, go through the day? Like, I could have done this, could have done that.
I could have bought Meat and Blobs Tax again.
Yeah.
For less than
bought
that.
Journey. How much is Journey?
For less than that.
Journey's 15.
15.
Oh, okay,
about,
whatever. You suck a dick on the street and
then
you make $5.
Something.
I mean, what?
Yeah.
Journey is
yeah.
about 2 hours of something.
Yeah, it's a really quick game. Yeah. But regardless, like, now the one
it's
thing
a 2 hour
say,
journey? That's not a fucking journey. That should be called, like, fucking, like, a brisk walk.
Brisk.
Journey.
Commute.
yeah, exactly. Fuck, no one commutes longer than that.
The one thing really, but... I can say about Dear Esther that I really did enjoy was the fact that, okay, the game's running on the Source engine. All right, so it's running on the Source engine that Half-Life is running off of. So it's a really, really dated engine. It's by
but it
far...
runs at 120 frames a second?
No, unfortunately. It's easily the best looking thing that I've personally seen on, granted, I don't play a lot of PC games, but it's the best looking thing that I've seen running on the Source engine ever. It's gorgeous. Not gonna say maybe if this game, they charged you $5 for it, it would be completely worth it, even if I don't get what the fuck went on in the storyline. It would be worth it because of the fact that the game is just breathtaking. Like, you walk through some caves and caverns and everything, and it's one of the prettiest looking things I've ever seen in a video game. It's really, really nice. So I'll say if this game was $5, jump on it. Whenever they do Steam sales, and you can find this game for like maybe $2, $3, $4, jump on it then, because it'll be totally worth it just to look at the visuals.
What's the name of it again?
Dear Esther.
Dear Esther.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, the graphics
sounds
of the game
like
is awesome.
The beginning of like 90% of like Christmas thank you notes to their grandma. That's what it sounds like.
Pretty
Dear
much.
Dear Auntie Esther.
Now the game, I'll give it to you. The game is haunting. You know, I was playing with some Turtle Beach headsets while I was playing it, and you know, going in through some, you know, when you hit some certain points in the game that are scripted, you'll get like these kind of like whispers and these, you know, some weird like kind of haunting sounds. So the game can get creepy at times. So there's some, you know, they give you this feeling of, you know, you are alone. Like that's one thing the game does well. Like you do feel like you're all alone by yourself. And the island's fairly big. For a 4 hour game, you're doing a lot of walking, and that's one of the bigger problems too. Like I said, like you control your guy with the keyboard and mouse, and there is no way to make your guy walk faster. So if you make a wrong turn, it's like, oh, I'm on this almost deserted island, and wow, there's a car door laying on the ground. Where did that come from? Oh, wait a minute, I can't go any further. I gotta turn all the way back around and walk up this cliff, and you can't sprint to, you know, when you're going back to retrace your steps, you can't do that. You walk at a very, very, very slow pace. And that's one of the things that was really agitating, but that was just my ADD kicking in because like, I got to walk all the way back slow as shit. Come on. So that was a little meh there too. So the game has some really cool things about it, but for $10, I just don't think it's worth it. I just really don't.
For $10, you can apparently get Gemini Rue on Steam.
That's a steal.
I just pulled it up. I didn't even know that they put it on Steam.
I didn't know either.
That's pretty awesome.
That's awesome.
Glad
really
they got that
game.
Recognition.
Yeah. And then I played something else, but I don't remember it right off the bat. What
you
else
have
came out?
Vita, you have a Vita. Please tell me you played your Vita this past week.
Did I play that? Okay, yeah. real quick, before I talk about the Vita, because I know you talked about it last week, so I won't spend too much time on it, but I do want to talk about UFC 3. I played more of that. Man, that game gets boring after about 3 days.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Are you sick of throwing right hooks? Is that what you're saying?
Well, are you playing it primarily like the single player kind of thing?
Yeah, I was playing a career mode, made my own guy. Yeah.
Yeah, I found with the first one too. Like, I loved it for literally about 3 days. I'd say maybe a week. And then, but a week for me is probably like 3 days, 4 days of gaming. And I was just like, yeah, I'm kind of done with this. I've, you know, got what I wanted out of it. You beat people up.
And now I'm done beating people up.
Yeah. I don't know, it's just, I actually get more fulfillment out of the Fight Night series more because I'm not very good at the grappling, even though it is enhanced and a lot better and it's easier to control and the controls are less archaic, so it's just easier to do the ground game in UFC 3. The issue is I don't like doing the ground game at all. That's not my style.
Yeah,
I like being like a scrappy, stand on your feet boxing type thing. But they don't do boxing nearly as well as the Fight Night games. So the whole time I'm playing the game, I'm enjoying it. Like I said, the first couple of days, I'm really enjoying the hell out of it. And, you know, a few days more into it, I'm like, I kind of wish I was playing Fight Night because I'm basically boxing.
Yeah.
You know, I'm swinging punches and mashing buttons, exactly what you were kind of alluding to with a question earlier. You know, basically mashing buttons until the guy got knocked the fuck out.
Yeah, or like, you know? That's what I hate. Like, I love fighting games, but like, like, you know, fantasy type fighting games, not stuff that's based on reality, because then it turns into, hey, ground game, then, well, this guy's got me in a choke, I just gotta mash a button to get out of it, and wonder if it was still like that. Like, because once you got a guy into submission, that game was pretty much over. Unless you had, like, ridiculous, retarded, like, super fast hands, and I can get out of it. And online, it was just hopeless because of, like, a little bit of lag. But,
right. You know, the first two UFC games on the current gen consoles, they sold pretty well for THQ. You know, 2009 more than anything, because it was really fresh. I think it won, Game of the Year, like, new. Sports Games of the Year Awards.
I think it might
like,
have, actually. Yeah,
yeah the 2009 really year it came out. Yeah, it was a huge game. But I wouldn't be surprised that after this year, people start realizing that, you know, there's really not much you can do with the MMA series anymore. I really don't think there is. I mean,
well, it's getting awesome reviews, dude. It's getting, like, people are calling it, like, the, like, better than the 2009 version. Because they took a year off to this one, because the 2010 came out the year after, and a lot of viewers are saying this is legit, like, fucking, like,
it is
the best
good,
MMA
like
game
said,
ever made.
It is good, but, like, it really does get old.
Oh, to us, yeah, but, I mean, MMA people who probably bought the game in the first place probably fucking loving it.
That's
probably
true.
Probably will sell, right?
That's true. Yeah, this is coming from a guy who's probably seen, like, 4 pay-per-views for UFC, if that.
And there are other people's houses when they go, oh, you're going to watch UFC? Okay, fine, well, I'll watch
right.
this. That'd be all right.
Okay, well, moving on to the Vita, then. Okay, so, Chris, you touched on a little bit, very, very small, a little bit of it last week, but Tales from Space, Mutant Blobs Attack. I think it's the best Vita game that's available right now. I'm enjoying the hell out of it. Like, I at least get... If anything, every day since I've had my Vita, at least a good 30, 40 minutes into the game, I'm like on chapter 5 or 6. I'm about done with it. But it's fun, man. I just love the aesthetic. I love the music. The cutscenes are really enjoyable. It's a fun, fun game. Anyone who gets that game, dude, jump on it. I tell everybody, like, that comes into the store, you know, if you're getting a Vita, at least get a $20 PSN card so you can get Mutant Blobs Attack. I think it's the best game that's available right now. And then Uncharted, of course, was the big one.
And you finished Uncharted, right?
I beat that really, really quickly. I was surprised that it's indeed not Uncharted Lite, which I think all of us kind of expected it to be, you know, especially coming from a developer that's not Naughty Dog. But I was happy to see that it was a full, you know, like 33, 34 chapter, 7 or 8 hour experience. You know, it was the basic norm for Uncharted. I was happy with that. You know, now if anything was light in the game, you know, character development and storyline, it wasn't as deep or as involved. You're not doing much globetrotting as, you know, like, Uncharted 3 or anything like that. Like, you're just going everywhere across the globe.
Or Globetrotter.
Yeah, in this or Harlem Globe. Those guys get around. They're pretty famous.
They do.
Yeah.
They're just in Toronto a couple weeks back.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they were.
Did you go?
I didn't go. No, I went a long time ago. And there's one of those shows where it's like, yeah, I saw them once. They're cool.
Yeah, I saw them once too. Yeah. Watch them abuse local street basketball players. Basically, that's what they do, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
Anyway, I was playing it, and my first 2 or 3 hours into the game. You know, of course, there are some very gimmicky things. And if I'm repeating things from last week, guys, I apologize. There are some very gimmicky things with the touchpad. A lot of gimmicky things, you know, slicing, you know, bamboo so you can get to a secret area, or slicing a tarp for that matter, using the front touchscreen and everything like that. That does get old. The melee, I just don't like the melee whatsoever. You know, I think Uncharted 3 hit their stride with the melee when they were trying to be like Batman.
100% agree.
100%. And I don't understand.
I posted that somewhere too. It's just,
you did?
I don't get the. I don't know why you would backtrack. You know. I mean it. I mean I get them wanting to try and use the touchscreen, but why? I mean, you had it right in Uncharted 3.
Just awesomely right. Yeah. It was awesomely right. Like, if anything, they made a game that's as cinematic as Uncharted. They made the melee almost cinematic and unscripted, like, because you can, like, you can mash your buttons and, you know, do your combos that are prompted up on the screen. But in the middle of it, like, you'll grab a bottle and hit the guy over the head, or take the guy and grab him and throw him up against the wall or something like that. Like they were able to take the cinematic feel of the game and incorporate it into the combat. And I was like, man, this is how they were supposed to do melee in this game from the start. And just to go to the touchscreen, you know, I was a big fan of melee. I would always go for melee, especially when those big shotgun guys came up. A quick kill was just
so
melee
them. Melee those guys.
But I just stayed away from melee, like, as much as I could. If a guy got close, you had no choice. But seriously, man, the melee was, if anything, in my opinion, the worst part of the game. for the Vita Uncharted. Now, the other things, I guess you can say.
See, I think the big, I still think the biggest gimmick was balancing on the freaking trees or whatever the hell when you're trying to cross over.
You know, that doesn't bother me because, you know, I fell the very first time they introduced that to you. And after that, I was like, okay, well, I know what they expect of me now.
It's still gimmicky, though.
And it's still gimmicky. It's still there, but... And it happens a lot, but it didn't detract from my experience. Well, the big thing was, and for the first 2 or 3 hours of the game, I really enjoyed this part. And it was when they were introducing you to the charcoal rubbings and, you know, taking an artifact and cleaning it off so you can, like, find the name engraved of someone who owned that piece. And that goes into the story and everything. I enjoyed that at first because, you know, Nathan Drake is a self-proclaimed treasure hunter. He hunts treasures. You know, he's like the Indiana Jones type. And, you know, Indiana Jones in the movies, because, you know, Nathan, who are we kidding? He's extremely heavily, heavily inspired by Indy. And in those movies, you know, Indy's all about, you know, there's action and everything, but there's a lot of, you know, grave robbing and looking at artifacts and, you know, him using his knowledge being a teacher, a professor, and going over and saying, okay, well, this is this, and look at these runes here. This means this and that. You know, Nathan Drake has done a little bit of that, you know, talking about runes and everything, but nothing about, like, hunting treasure. You know, as far as Uncharted got, you see something blinking, you grab it, and that's it. You get credit for taking one treasure. And I like the idea that doing the charcoal rubbings and, you know, like dusting off artifacts so you can find out more about it or where it came from. I like that because I believe it made Nathan Drake feel more like a treasure hunter instead of an action star for the first 2 or 3 hours of the game. The rest of the game, I felt that they started throwing that stuff at you way too much because by the time you do your 15th charcoal rubbing, it did get tiresome.
The 15th charcoal rubbing on chapter two?
Chapter two. I think they could have calmed down on that and still got the feel that, okay, well, I, you know, break the pace up a little bit. You know, by the fifth or sixth, you know, puzzle you have to do. And I'm not talking about, you know, read the wall hieroglyphs on the wall and figure out a contraption puzzle. I'm talking about a 250 piece laid out in your fucking kitchen table, you know, puzzle piece type thing. You know, by the time I got to the fifth or sixth one, I was like, okay, guys, I'm spending 3 to 5 minutes in an action game putting together a physical puzzle.
Yeah.
I don't like that.
I feel bad for the developers that have to develop games for launch-based stuff that have gimmicky, like, features to
them. Yeah, because you know that Sony is the one that's saying, hey, put all this shit
exactly.
In
it's Sony, Nintendo, like Microsoft. Like, whenever they have something, it's always something they gotta do. And they're probably like, yeah, we're gonna make this awesome Uncharted game. It's gonna be badass. And, about how you wanna do this. We got this new thing. You can touch the back of the screen. So, we gotta throw that in there somehow. Just make it happen. Right. Oh, yeah, we got tilt, too. We got tilt. Oh, shit! And there's actually a camera now, so we can actually pick up light. So, if you can, like, put it up to, like, a light source or something, like, use a camera for something.
And here's the
thing. Can I tell you how annoying that is?
No, I'm sorry. The light source thing, they did that one time in the game, and I thought it was really cool.
Because it is cool, but there's no light source.
Here's my problem with it. The light sourcing is relative to the room.
Yes.
So I have a ceiling fan with the light on, and I'm laying down on the couch, so the light is already beating onto the camera. So when I hold it to the light source, nothing happens. I literally had to stand up and hold the Vita like next to the light bulb for it to work. Because it was relative to the brightness of the room.
Right. And that makes sense. I can understand how frustrating that would be, because that kind of takes you out of the moment when they're supposed to, like, integrate you in the story. Like, you are Nathan holding up the thing
for the light.
Yeah, fourth
wall much? There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. For me, like, I was playing in the dark, and I actually walked up to a light and put it up to it, and it shone through. And I thought that was cool. It's like, that was a neat little thing. And I was completely happy to see they never do it again.
No, that's good. It's definitely one of the more cool things.
Never do it again. So That was a nice little change.
What do you do, though, if you're in the dark and you have no light source?
Then you're fucked.
Like, what if you're laying in bed, you're about to go to sleep, and all of a sudden it's like, motherfucker, I can't do this now. And you're like, fuck, I'll get up, like, go to the bathroom or something, turn on the light. No, there we go. All right, back to bed. But luckily, it's only the one time. It is a cool idea, though. That's probably out of all the things that people have done with the Vita, like, tech so far, I think that's the one that sounds the coolest so far.
Right.
Even though it was pretty cool.
So that's Uncharted, and okay. But real quick, nothing on Uncharted, though. Overall, I did like the game. Not Uncharted Light. I did enjoy it. I think it ended fun. It was great. But the gimmicky stuff can go away, for sure. It just can go. It's just not suited for that series. People want something specific on Uncharted. They need to get rid of that. Going forward next, God damn, I cannot stop playing Valkyria Chronicles 2.
Oh, God. I'm going for a cigarette.
Okay, don't go for a cigarette. I'm not going to talk much about it. Chris has talked about it ad nauseum, but I can definitely, with a happy, happy heart, just reiterate, you know, by saying, God, this fucking game is so great. It's brilliant. It's 10 times better than Valkyria 1. I think it
See,
is.
I agree. A lot of people don't agree, but it's like there's so much more to this game.
Yeah.
It's
and the downgrade in graphical fidelity does not deter me whatsoever. You know, I'm getting into the characters a lot more than I like the characters in the first game, because they give you the ability to have one-on-ones with a lot of the different characters before you do story missions and everything. All the extra stuff you can do. There's so much more meat to this game, and the completionist in me is like, oh, thank heavens, there's so much more to do here. I'm happy with it. You know,
Let it get you. Don't let
it
get you.
It's got me, dude. It's got me.
I'm 80 hours into this game, and I still have 2 chapters left.
Yeah, I got 10 hours in, and I just started February.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Just started February. I'm loving that. And, you know, going back and seeing...
You say just started February, like that was, like, yesterday.
Well, no, you start out... It's
literally.
The chapters
are months.
I see
what you did there.
Oh, I see. Okay, that's just a coincidence. Okay, I didn't even mean to do that on purpose.
Jeff's smarter than
I love you, Jeff.
You're like, I'm already 10 hours in, I'm already in February. I'm
yes,
like,
that is
well,
correct.
Well, dude,
Jeff.
That's I'm like, so you played the game for an entire month and you're 10 hours in? Like,
it's a good thing it's awesome. A leap year, or that joke would have bombed.
I was like yesterday.
But
Jeff, to give you an idea, joke. I just started November, so I'm on chapter 11 of 12.
Gotcha. Yeah.
So I would, hopefully, there's not like a level cap or anything in terms of the co-op, because I would like to try and see if we can ad hoc the co-op.
No, I think you can co-op at any level, and I don't know if there's a level cap, because I got one of my classes up to 25, and it extended the fucking thing to 50. It's like, really?
Oh, wow.
So, yeah.
So I would like to maybe try some co-op or something one day, because I think that'd be pretty fun.
Cool. Sounds good.
All right, but that's it for me. I did also buy Tactics Ogre. I don't know why, but man,
it's downloadable.
I can't play that game, dude.
I don't like those games anymore.
Ooh,
I cannot play those.
There's too much in those games.
That's one like Final Fantasy Tactics, basically.
It's basically Tactics. It's the micromanaging is so intense.
Oh
my God, it's horrible. So I'm not even gonna talk about it. Like, stay away from that game. It seemed like such a great idea to pick up Tactics Ogre, and I was like, wow, that was the worst $10 I could have spent. So with that $10 that I spent there, and a $10
I was gonna say
dear fucking Esther.
So dear Esther was
a
better.
I could have got the collector's edition for Mass Effect. Fuck.
Yeah, you could have
missed opportunities. So, but anyway, that's it for me, Jeff.
Hey,
what you been playing, man?
I played some stuff.
I played
some stuff and things made of stuff. Hey, I downloaded the Missing Link DLC for
Deus Ex.
Yeah, back when it was on sale for like $4 or something.
How was that?
I missed that.
I don't know how long it is. I'm guessing. I don't know. DLC these days are what, like 3 to 4 hours, if that usually.
It's about like that.
Probably about like an hour in. I'm enjoying it, but so far it's too combat based for me. Like I try to play through my playthrough of DSX basically, try to be as stealthful as possible, but then if shit hits the fan, whatever shit hits the fan, I'll just blow people up. I find it's kind of hard to do stealth stuff near the beginning. So, I played about for an hour, and I was kind of like, okay, well, I'm going to go back to this later, because I'm really not I just wasn't in the mood for like that type of gameplay at the moment. So I was like, eh, but for $4, it was on sale. And I love Deus Ex, right? It was one of my favorite games last year. So I do want to get back to it. But it's pretty much, I don't know if you guys read about it. It's basically it fills in the time period where, what's the guy's name in that fucking
Jensen?
Game?
Jensen, he goes to sleep Adam for like Jensen. 2 or 3 days, right?
Yeah, basically. Yeah. So basically he wakes up on that ship that he wakes up in the cargo thing in. He's basically being kind of like tortured. And, you basically escape from there and you're kind of got free reign to go around the boat and stuff. So the premise is pretty cool. The gameplay is still Deus Ex. The thing is, they also Metroid you, which is really shitty. They basically take away a lot of what you've opened up, because it's kind of standalone. It's not like a game that usually gets DLC like this, where you go in an actual game, then you'll actually get that mission or that quest, and then go do it. It's basically at the title screen. It's like, play Deus Ex or play Missing Link. So
kind of like they did with Red Dead, where you can play Undead Nightmare?
Yeah, exactly. But Undead Nightmare makes more sense, because Undead Nightmare is more of like a... It's a retelling. It's kind of like a side... Like, it's not...
An alternate reality type
It's
thing.
Like an alternate reality yeah. kind of thing, whereas this is like a stopgap between like an act, like something that happened during the actual playthrough
yeah,
of
I
the
get
original
you.
Game. Mm-hmm. So it just kind of sucked that it's like... They basically take away everything you've opened up. So I was like, oh, man. So then once you're used to like having like invisibility and bust through walls and like... Have that cool parachute thing when you jump too far. You have to like kind of unlock that stuff all over again.
Oh,
so
annoying.
I was kind of not in the mood to do that. I was like, oh shit! I thought I was gonna have all my stuff and it would be really badass, but it wasn't like that at all.
Yeah, I don't get DLC that restricts you. I think I wish developers would have learned when people were all pissed off when Fallout 3 released Operation Anchorage, where
yeah.
they completely nerfed you and they actually changed the game, like added ammo crates and all kinds of
yeah,
weird
no
things
kidding.
To the game.
That was weird.
Like and everybody hated that DLC. Thankfully, you got like massive, awesome loot at the end of that. That made it worth it. It's like, okay, well, I can go invisible now anytime I want.
Now
so the DLC was okay, I guess. But the content itself was just horrible. And it's like it had nothing to do with the actual, you know, living, breathing world that was Fallout 3. It had nothing to do with it. And it seems that there's a storyline with Deus Ex, it seems like I said, it's more of like that, it's like a standalone stopgap because
yeah.
you can't progress, you can't get stronger. To me, it's like, one of my main issues with Deus Ex was I wanted to get every fucking power. You know,
yeah.
we complained that there was no New Game Plus, but I feel that you could at least extend that a little bit with 2 or 3 hours of experience you can get within Deus Ex.
Yeah, not at all.
And that's ridiculous, yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure even if you were to like say for like, I don't know, hypothetically speaking, if you just were to buy this game and a DLC, I'm pretty sure you couldn't play up to the point where that part happens, play that part, and I don't think the DLC carries over if you to your main game. So it's pretty much standalone, takes part during the main story, but it doesn't feel like so far at least, it doesn't feel like it was just cut from the chopping block kind of thing. They're like, alright, so let's throw this out there as DLC. It doesn't feel like that yet. Then again, like I said, I only played it for an hour, so I do want to get to it eventually, but there's reasons I didn't go back to it, is because, I picked up SSX.
Oh,
Tuesday.
Nice.
Talk
okay.
to me, man.
Yeah,
I played a lot of that demo.
It's fun. It basically came down to Syndicate or that. Originally, it was going to be Syndicate, but after reading a bunch of reviews...
I think you made
people,
the right choice.
Yeah. A lot of people telling me, like, on Twitter and, like, through personal, like, conversations, saying, yeah, you know what? Syndicate's good. Like, I've had people on total opposite end of the spectrum. Syndicate's awesome. Like, Jack Bauer fucking loves it. Whereas Better Tomorrow is like, oh, this is one of the most frustrating games I've ever played. So... I'm like, I don't know, what should I do? So I'm like, you know what, that game's probably going to be cheap soon anyway, I don't think it's doing too well. And, yeah, so I'll pick it up from the cheap, and I figured I'll get SSX, because that's kind of like a... I haven't played an SSX game since 3, so that's like, what, 7 years ago, 6 years ago?
Longer than that,
like,
dude.
Like, before, it was, I think it was released the year before 360 came out, so whenever the fuck that was. But, because I had it for the original Xbox, that was fucking forever ago. But, yeah, it's fun, man, I talked about the demo, I think, last week or the week before, and... The main game's pretty much like that. I don't know what.
the one question I have is, okay, when I'm playing the game, yeah. I probably played the demo 3 times.
Okay.
Maybe a total of maybe an hour and a half total gameplay that I've jumped
yeah.
into SSX. And I feel the learning curve is very, very steep. And with an hour and a half of playing,
is.
I never got comfortable with the controls. So how much have you played?
Which controls were you using? Were you
I'm
using the sticks?
The advanced controls, the sticks.
Don't use the sticks. I will say this to especially people who are just learning, don't use the sticks, because I can see where they're going with it. They figure that if you have that your thumbs on both sticks, it should be easier. I couldn't get used to it. Like that's how I played the demos as well. First couple times, like I can't do this. I looked for like the classic controls. I found the classic controls, but even going back to them were kind of weird because I haven't played in so long. So I went with the standard controls, but the buttons for the grabs. So like A, B, X, Y. Well, I got on PS3, so X, square, circle, triangle, whatever. I found that a lot easier to use those for your grabs, your right trigger for tweaking, and then, you know, X is jump, and that's a lot better. Go with that. But even that said, like, SSX is not a very easy game to jump into
at
all. Like, it's not casual friendly, and, like, to show how much it hasn't really evolved in that sense is when my buddy, a good friend of mine, he got a PS2 like the day it came out, and the game he bought for it was SSX, because that was a launch game, and he brought his PS2 over to my place, and we started playing it, and we didn't know how to do anything, because first of all, we were used to Tony Hawk at the time, so the Tony Hawk controls pretty simple, and we didn't know what the fuck to do. We were like, this game's stupid, so he actually went back to EB that day and exchanged it for Madden, like 2000, whatever the hell it was, 2001.
Probably a good call.
Well, yeah, at the time we thought it was a good call, but looking back, it was not at all. Because I guess when SSX 3 came out, I just forced myself to get used to it. And once you're used to the controls and you understand the game, it controls like butter. It's like, it's so good. Once you get a good, like, grasp on
how you should approach. Even Tricky was really good.
I never actually played Tricky. That's the only one I've ever played.
Tricky's my favorite. It's my personal favorite of the SSX series, yeah. Hmm. Now, have you done any of the quote unquote boss battles? Like when you're going down, you get a different camera angle. Like how is that?
Well, I haven't done any of the ones that has a different camera angle, but I've done the lowest point. The game, the things I don't like about the game that stands out the most is the Deadly Descent courses, because SSX is all about getting a flow going and, you know, keeping a trick meter running and just kind of like getting a high score. Mm-hmm. Whereas the Deadly Descents are all about surviving, and the problem with that is they put you on more of a narrow course that's less open, and they just throw shit at you that you need to... Well, first of all, like if you didn't see the stuff coming, you're going to get hit by it. So it's pretty much comes down to like course memorization for a lot of it, and you have health meter. So you can actually, like, if you run into too many trees, you have to start over again. And it's just throwing shit at you. Like the first one, the whole thing is teaching you how to use the armor in the game. You actually can get armor. And all it is it's like a kind of like a narrow course you're going down with a bunch of trees. Some of them are too high to jump over. Some of them are too low to go underneath. So you got to kind of figure out how to get around them and all that stuff. But the thing is, it's just kind of trial and error, and it just ruins the flow, because you can't get that flow of like, okay, now I'm carving. Now I'm going to do a trick off here. Oh, I see a rail over there. I'm going to go grind that rail, go down, go off another jump. Here's a kind of like a half pipe looking thing, go off that. It's not like that at all. It's basically, fuck, man, I'm just trying to get through this and fucking live. Like, I don't even care about score at this point. I just want to get to the end of this so I can move on. And that's the problem. The single player, that's kind of what... The single player is kind of like a giant tutorial so far. I think it's like 8 mountains. They take you through, like, all the mountain ranges. And there's, like, a Deadly Descent. It's kind of like the boss battle of each one. I've done 2 of them, and I don't think I can go back to the single player at all. Because mm-hmm. I'm just like... I hate doing the Deadly Descent things. It's just, like, playing against the AI is just kind of... seems pointless. But the online, though... is a lot of fun, even though it's not traditional. It's all, it's all basically like the Autolog stuff from Hot Pursuit.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's for Need for Speed.
Yeah.
And we're having a blast with that, because that's like, you can go to any one of the mountains, but you have to, you earn credits. In every mode you do, you earn credits, which is in-game money. If you play through the single player, you open up mountains and riders as you progress. If you don't do the single player, you have to open up the mountains and the riders and the drops via credits. The good thing is, you make credits in that game like nothing. Like I haven't had to worry about like any type of amount of credits I've had since I've played the game. You make a lot just by doing the runs and stuff. But it's really set up well. You can see all your friends on your friends list and see what courses they've done, what their times are, what their scores are. You can immediately go to which race that they did or what trick race they wanted to do or they did and try to beat their score. And then if you do beat their score, you get, like, extra points, and then it'll let them know, hey, it's like Autolog. It'll let them know that, hey, this person beat your score. They go back and try to beat you. A cool thing, though, there's this thing called global events. And this is what, I'm really not a score chase person, per se, because I hate the fact that it's open-ended. So I hate that I could place a really good score, and then I might, like, I don't know, 2 weeks down the line, go back and play the game, like, somebody's beat my score, and it'll just bother me, because I'm like, I'm no good at this game anymore. And I need to get this, like, I need to get the score back, and I'll be like, it's an uphill battle, I don't want to put the time in to get good at this anymore, so fuck it. But there's these global events where there's times on them. It's like a timer. So it's like, okay, this event's for 2 days. So the buy-in for it is, say, like 5,000 credits. So you pay the 5,000 credits, you get to go in there and do a run at it, and then you get put, there's like a whole pool. Every time somebody tries this run, it keeps going to the cat. It's kind of like betting, basically, kind of like poker. So everyone buys in, and then, depending on your tier, there's like diamond, platinum, gold, bronze, silver, or silver, bronze. And then, you get like a payout once the event's done. But what's cool is you can do this privately with your friends. So I can be like, I'm gonna make a global event just for my friends, like you, Chris, like Scott, I think Scott's playing it in the U2, and Dane. We're only gonna join, here's the buy-in, but I'm gonna set this up for like 2 days. So, it's kind of cool. So if you win that in that 2 days, you saw the higher score, boom, you cash in, you get the credits, and then you get the bragging rights, and you can just go ahead and make another one or whatever. I think that's kind of cool. Of course, this is on top of the regular high scores and race times that are on every single peak and run in the game, which is kind of overwhelming at first, but there's a lot of drops, but it's kind of deceiving because the developer's like, oh, there's like 153 different runs. That's not really true. There's pretty much 8 mountain peaks with,
multiple paths?
With, yeah, they kind of like, there's like, each mountain peak will probably have like 3 different paths, but so it's like 3 paths, but it's actually 6, 8, because it'll be like, these 3 big paths is one for racing, one for trick score each, and then halfway down, there's another drop-off point if you want to do like a shorter run, one for racing, one for trick matches. So it's kind of deceiving. There's not really 153 different drops. There's probably realistically, I want to throw just a number out there and say like 25, but then multiply that by all the different kind of runs you can do on each one. That's kind of what they go by.
So it's kind of Ridge Racer-ish where it's got X number of courses and you can do them in different ways and
yeah. And
backwards and all that other shit.
Yeah, except to take out the backwards. It's the same way. Just, yeah, one you're going for race time, one you're going for tricky time, basically. Or tricky score. But, I'm enjoying the hell out of the game so far. Like, I've been playing, and I gotta brag now while I can, because I'm at the top of every single thing we've done on my friends list. I'm like, yeah! But I know it's gonna change soon. Or maybe not, because there's 2 big games coming out next week or tomorrow that I'm sure when these games come out that we're not going to be playing SSX for a while, so I'm hoping I can hold on to these for a bit.
Right.
But it just...
What game could you be talking about?
No, there's 2 of them.
It's Mass Effect, Chris. Come on, where you at? Jeez.
But before that would have been a great transition, but I just want to say one thing. Is another problem with the game is it's kind of like the Deadly Descents. A lot of the drops have runs that are, again, narrow, a bunch of stuff that's going to get in your way and just try to stop you. And I really think that hurts the game. And a lot, sure, the argument could be, well, you just got to get used to the course and know where the narrow parts are, where the drops are, where the caves are, so you don't, like, bust your head off the roof. But the problem is, these courses I just find aren't fun. And these aren't even the Deadly Descent ones. These are some of the ones on different mountain peaks. Literally, there's only about 3 mountain peaks that I found that I really like every race on. The rest of them kind of like, ugh.
Yeah, and that was one of the biggest things that they were kind of, like, touting during the marketing phase of this game. Like, it's just for months and months and months, we're like, oh, dude, the mountain range is so awesome, the geolocalization, there are no invisible walls, you can literally, you know, you pick a mountain, you can race anywhere you want. And it's like, it's sad to hear that, wow, they're just boring, you know?
Yeah, that's not really true. I wouldn't even say it's boring, they're just, they have some really, really fucking good ones that are open, you can, like, snowboard them like you think you should be able to, then there's other ones that are just like, designed to fuck you up if you don't know them well enough. And that's not what SSX has ever been about. It's been about, like, you want to set up a good course that is kind of intuitive to do your stuff down, but make it challenging. You want it to be challenging to set together a good string of tricks and stuff like that to find cool places to trick. You don't want to make it challenging in SSX game to be like, okay, now we're going to throw a whole bunch of trees in this area, but you have to go through it. You just got to hope to fucking dodge through it. Oh, here comes a tunnel that if you go over any jump and hit the jump button, you're going to smack your head off the top of it and crash. And the whole thing's based up building up multipliers and trick chains and stuff like that. So it kind of ruins the flow. But so far, I'm just kind of staying away from those ones. But if you stay away from those ones, the game's so damn fun. And there's a few of us playing right now and just kind of like talking a little bit of trash back and forth. But
of course, the whole time you're talking about this, I inadvertently just really, really, really need to play Trials Evolution. That game needs to hurry up and come out.
Yeah, Trials Evolution does look fucking awesome. But yeah, it's cool. Hopefully I'll be talking about it again next week. Who knows if I'm still gonna be playing it, but I hope so. I mean, I did fucking get it, so.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't rent that shit. Another game I played. Actually, Chris, you go first before I talk about it, because I'm gonna probably be talking about the next game for like a little bit. Because if you've played anything,
he says, we're 50 minutes into the first half.
That's why I figured we should go to you first.
Alright, well, I'll be quick then, because I don't have really that much. I played a lot more Star Wars. I actually am trying to catch up to my father-in-law. How sad is that?
Oh, wow.
He is like level 26 now, his Jedi.
I remember that game.
So I went on a 2-day binge where this is my version of a binge when it comes to gaming. I played 6 hours of a game in 2 days. Wow. That's amazing. I got from level 16 to like level 21 or something, with my Jedi. So I got my ship and I did a bunch of missions and went to the next planet and did another story mission, blah, blah, blah. So I'm trying to catch up and, the game is still really fun and I really, really want to play it. That's the problem. And it's like, there's so much to play. But yeah, so I'm still playing that. Other than that, it's been all Vita all the time. Some more Uncharted. I think I'm on like chapter 18 now. And Travis, you said there's what, like 33
or 34,
something.
Okay.
So yeah, I'm around halfway, I guess. And depending on how long the chapters are, more Wipeout. I played some multiplayer with Glenn. That was a disaster.
I heard it's a disaster because you couldn't connect your desk because it's hard to get in the same room.
It's hard to get in the same. Well, it's not that it's hard to get in the same room because it does have a way. So like, okay, so we put on party chat, and I was using Bluetooth headset. Now here's one big problem that Sony needs to fix. With my Bluetooth headset on, all I could do was have sound through the headset. So game sound and him coming through the headset.
Okay.
They need to fix that because game sound needs to be, you know, you need to be able to put game sound through the speakers and voice through the headset.
I thought the official Sony headset that has the microphone built in, I thought that rectified that.
That's what I'm using.
Oh, so that doesn't rectify it.
Like, I'm using the old one because they actually put out a newer one. Recently.
Yeah, the new one that came like with all the accessories when they were launching the Vita itself. So you're using the old PSP one?
Oh, there you go.
No,
Chris,
I'm using the old one that came with SOCOM.
Okay, yeah. There's a new one that they released.
Oh, fuck you, Sony.
That's
still retarded.
Fuck you, Sony. It's still retarded.
So, Chris, spend $60 to make something that should, you know.
Yeah, something that should
happen
work.
Anyway.
Right.
Yeah.
But so.
Wait, hold on. Let me go home before you go on. So wait, so the sound's coming through the headset, right?
Yeah. And the guy talking.
Yeah. But the microphone's only been picking up on the Vita? Is that what you're saying?
No, I mean, my Bluetooth mic picks up from me.
Yeah.
Now I can remove the headset and just use the onboard mic. And that's actually what Glenn was doing. And the quality was actually pretty good, though he was cutting out every once in a while.
Yeah, I talked to Rekin on the cross game chat just by no headset or anything, just talking, and it worked pretty well.
Yeah.
There's a lot of white noise, but I mean, that's kind of expected.
Yeah.
Back to what I was saying. So what you're saying is the sound was coming out of
it was coming out of the headset
and the voice. So the sound was not coming out of the Vita itself.
Correct.
That is fucked up.
Yeah.
That's really fucked up.
Yeah. I mean, that's something that should work out of the box.
If there's a setting, I looked, I didn't
see one. If there is one, I don't know where it is. So, everybody really out there that has a Vita, if you know how to fix this, you can even do that on
PS3 if you wanted to, could you?
Yeah, you could do that on PS3.
You can actually have the sound of the game come through the headset?
Yeah, well, I think you can if you want to, but why would you want to?
No, I don't know. I've never seen anything like that. That's why. Yeah. I was like, that's kind of... I mean, you might want
kind
of it
fucked
somewhere,
up,
yes, but that is fucked up.
If you have large cans to put on,
that makes
I could
sense,
see
yeah.
it. But, yeah. you know, I'm just using a Bluetooth headset, man. Just you know, voice through that, and there should be an option. But so the game chat, the voice chat was working well. The big thing is, the way Wipeout seems to work is you can't invite your friends. You can't make a private room. But if you're communicating, you jump into a room, and then that person can go find you on there's like a little icon for your friends at the bottom, on the bottom left, and you tap on that, and it brings up all your friends, and you can scroll through them, and it'll say, your friend is in this room, and you can click on that, you can tap him, and you'll go into his room.
Can that person make a room, though, or is it all like...
It's all automatically generated, it seems.
Oh, so basically you just got to join a game, then, okay, go in a game, quickly join.
Yeah, you join a game, and then the person follows you. That's kind of how it works.
Okay,
the problem with this is it takes a while for the system to realize, oh, he's in a room. Because I would go into a room, and it would take, like, say, 15, 20 seconds for the servers to realize, oh, Chris is in a room now. And there were times when he jumped in a room and then he jumped out of the room and it still registered that he was in it. So when I tried to tap it, he wasn't there.
And I'm sure it did shit where it'd be like, oh, he's in a room, you can join. And then by the time you join, the room's full because it took a while.
Yes, that happened too.
See, they need to fix that more than the audio issue.
Yeah, forget the audio.
Oh, for sure.
No. Keep in mind that one issue is the Vita itself. One issue is the game.
Okay.
All right. So they're separate. But when one is the system itself.
Glenn was saying that it's not just Wipeout that does it like that. There's some other multiplayer game that did the same thing.
Well, yeah,
but
there's
no game that you could do that.
It's right, but it's okay. I see what you're saying. Yes, Sony needs to put in something where you can grab everybody in your party and start a multiplayer game. But
my point was
that without that in place, the issues with the online are because of the game, not necessarily because of
the system. For sure, definitely. Yeah.
And the issues with the headset is because of the system.
Yeah. Which I'm pretty sure maybe they just forgot to put that option there. Someone's like, fuck, man, I was eating my sandwich and I fucking rush it and I hit enter. Shit, we got to patch that in at some point. That just sounds ridiculous.
I swear I uncommented that code. I promise.
I don't know what that means, but yes.
Scott is out there listening, laughing right now. So let's see what else. But when we did play, the races were really smooth. It worked really, really well. It was fun, and I didn't feel like I was getting my ass handed to me all the time. It's like
Really? Not by Glenn? Because Glenn's pretty fucking good.
Glenn is good at the game, but here's kind of what I'm talking about. It's like, when we were playing, so I jumped into a room and we were playing, and I mean, I was like one of the lowest level guys in there. I was like level 2 at the time, and there was like a level 20. And the first race, I came in 3rd out of 8, and the only people that beat me was the level 20 and a level 12. And Glenn beat me too. He's level 12. So he's got more,
that would make you 4th place.
No. That was a different race. Sorry.
Oh, different race. Okay.
Let's do it. Like, there's also this battle mode.
Math is one of my good subjects. That's why I helped that.
Good job, buddy.
There's also like this battle mode where it's like, I guess it does registered hits. But like first person to get 60 hits, with a weapon wins. And that was kind of cool because it's not, you're not racing anymore. You're just flying around the track.
Dude, you haven't looking played for people to blow the shit in a long time, have you?
So that was cool.
You need to play Wipeout HD, man. That's been in Wipeout HD for like 4 years.
Has it? Yeah, I haven't.
Yeah. I'm not sure if it was out with the Fury expansion or if it was before that, but I can't remember what the mode's called, but it's pretty fun.
I seriously played Wipeout HD like 3 times.
Oh, you are so fired. Are you serious?
That's why I told you to call me when you guys are doing Wipeout.
Dude,
I'll do it.
Well, we haven't done it since then, but it's that game is, now that I've played it, like I played that too, like I think that's one of my favorite games of this gen. It's so fun. I fucking love it. It's so good.
And it's so well good. It's so well made.
It's so well made.
I mean, it's not that I don't want to play it, I just haven't.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I do want to state, though, like, you know, because we've been taking this time, you know, talking about Uncharted and these other games and a lot of the issues that, you know, we're having with the Vita. I just want to come out and say, I love this fucking system, man.
Oh, yeah, there's no doubt.
I'm going to come out and say this right now. You said the same thing about the 3DS when that first came out.
That's true, but the 3DS is not geared toward me.
Yeah, I know. I
love this system. So
yeah. I know. I know you didn't, Chris. Travis said the same thing. He's like, I fucking love this thing. I'm just saying. Not that I'm saying you're not gonna like it down the road. I'm just saying, just grain of salt.
Right.
Just saying.
I do like the system, and like, but it is the games that will be coming out, and hopefully, you know, and some games in the future that we might be talking about in news that will get on that are going
to
be getting announced next week.
I still have to do news,
you know,
dude.
I want to see more hardcore games, and I think we're going to get that, and that's why I really dig this system. I mean, it's like a PlayStation 2.5 in the palm of your hands. Like,
I'd say it's like to me, it looks like a 2.8. Like, it's something that 2.8, shit looks really good.
Yeah.
I mean,
in some ways, this machine is more powerful than the PS3.
Well, definitely in regards to memory
that's true.
Allocation, that's for sure.
That's why you were able to do so much multitasking with it, and why you're able to do party chat and shit like that.
That's true.
I mean, they definitely did that right. I will not lie. This is a fantastic device, and it's only going to get better. And, you know, really, all the stuff that we're talking about, all the stuff that I'm, like, complaining about, it's all a wash, really. These are launch games. I mean, there's going to be issues with launch games.
I was going to say, Uncharted looks kind of, to me, when I only played the demo, but it looked like at least on par, if not better, than Uncharted 1. So if that's a launch game.
I agree.
And Uncharted 1 was a 1 year in PS3 game. Can you imagine what the next Uncharted is going to look like on the Vita?
There's some textures here and there where you're like, ooh, this is definitely handheld. But, for the most part, there was a. I enjoy Golden Abyss a little more than. The Uncharted 1. Yeah.
Oh, the Uncharted 1? Okay. Yeah. Gotcha.
Yeah. A little bit, yeah.
I gotcha. More Hot Shots. Play more of that. Finish the beginner round of like, challenges, I guess.
Hasn't got, like, kicked to the ball sack hard.
Oh,
yet.
No. I'm getting kicked in the ball sack now. It's like, they have these courses where it's like, no matter how, where it's like almost every single way I aim my drive, I end up in the rough. It's like, it just goes down a hill and into the rough. It's like, fucking, really? And then there's a tree in my way. I'm like, come on.
That's like SSX.
So yeah, it is getting to that point. And I'll be honest with you, I don't think I get this game as far as putting goes.
It's a fucking golf game. What do you mean you don't get it?
No. But that's the thing. It's like the putting. I don't know, like, how to adjust my putt based on the terrain.
The grid that they give you.
Yeah, the grid that they give you. I don't get that yet.
I find that with, like, a lot of golf games. They pull out the grid. I'm like, I don't fucking know. It looks like it's sloping this way.
Okay, this looks good. And you shoot it off, and it goes, like...
Opposite way you thought it was going to.
Right,
like, that slope slowly says it's going to slant to the left. Why the fuck did it go right?
But it wasn't all the way red. It was, like, greenish, reddish, orange. It wasn't that... like, it's weird. Yeah. It's really, really weird. Thankfully, like, the Tiger Woods series got away from that. It's, like, basically this analog putting, though.
So, pretty much.
Yeah. But it's still a good game. Let's see. What else? Rayman. God, that game is so good.
It's about fucking time.
Holy shit. Well, I didn't have it last week when we talked. I actually got it.
You didn't play it on
Friday.
Consoles either, right?
No, I did. I have the PS3 version, but I was saving it for
the
Vita.
But you never played it.
Oh, so you're playing a joint on the Vita. Yeah. How does it look?
It's fantastic. It's absolutely gorgeous. It is the best looking 2D game I have ever played. Period.
Yeah.
It's
great. Pretty accurate. Yeah.
And they did some modifications to the way the game works. It's like, because there's no multiplayer, you can actually, like, places where there are special items that you would need another player to help you go get, you tap the screen to pick them up. So, you know, call it a cop out or whatever you want to do.
So
that is kind of a cop out.
There is absolutely 100% no multiplayer in this game.
As far as I know, there's
none. There's none at all.
That is such a...
I think it's because the online just wasn't built in the infrastructure, so they couldn't do it. They're like, well, you can't really do cooperative on one Vita, so, here you go. Tap this.
I don't get it. How was that game not,
they done
how
ad
was
hoc
that not
multiplayer.
A $15 download? I just don't understand it. I don't get it.
I'm not complaining about how much I paid for this game. It's fantastic.
I mean, yeah, I got it for like $20 too, so I don't really...
Right.
I honestly think it's one of the best 2D platformers we've seen in like a long fucking time.
Right. I agree.
So, it gets hard though, dude. It gets hard.
That's the thing. I would never beat that game by myself.
Yeah, I haven't. I went through the entire world the one time, because then you go through the second time where it gets harder and there's bosses, but the levels are different. You're going through the same worlds again, but the levels are different. Once you get there, Chris, oh man, you're going to want to fucking kick some puppies. Like, oh, son of a bitch.
As long as I don't want to, as long as I resist the urge to throw my $300 my $300 portable console
kick
across
all
the room.
Puppies you want, just don't throw your Vita.
Cisco, come here, I need to kick something.
There goes our PETA endorsement. They're gone.
Anything else in the Vitas?
That's it.
I played some more Escape Plan, and I think that is about it. Yeah.
Cool.
But, yeah, that's it for me. I was really hoping to say, hey, I beat Puzzle Quest, but I haven't done that yet.
No.
I'm like right at the end. But, that's it for me. So continue.
Well, the big game I played today that I didn't talk about was Super Mario 3D Land. Because that's the second week straight I forgot to fucking mention that fucking game.
So how you liking that 3DS?
It's alright. Like I said last week,
it's very pink.
The fact that I opened that 3DS and started playing it, if anything that it taught me was I really do not need a Vita right now. Because I was like all excited for the 3DS again to play Mario, and I played it for a few days, and I was like, meh, I'm going to play some Wipeout. I'm going to play something on my console. So I'm like, it was kind of good. It made my willpower go from like nothing to I can wait like till the fall
or
whenever there's like price drop or something, because I'm not playing the 3DS too much. But Mario's a good game. I'm not even going to bother talking about it too much. It's Mario in 3D. It's a lot of fun. I think it's the best use of the 3D so far in the 3DS, that's for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
Especially the levels where it has, like,
I would
you're falling
disagree.
Down and stuff. But I haven't played a lot on the 3DS.
Well, no, I still think Pilot Wings does 3D better than Super Mario.
Oh, really?
Oh,
I think Mario does.
Well, I like Pilot Wings, too, because of depth of field when you're really high up in the air. When you look down at the island, it just looks really, really cool. But it still is kind of in your face, whereas
I don't feel like Mario does anything for the game.
I think
the developers were trying to do that. I think they were trying to make it to where you needed 3D. Before that, you need to play, if anything, at least the demo for Resident Evil Revelations.
I did play that actually for a bit.
That's the best use of the.
It looks awesome.
Use. Yeah.
I didn't play the entire demo. I played it for like a little bit, and then I died, and I was like, I don't want to play this anymore. It looks awesome, but then I realized I fucking hate the way that Resident Evil games play. So I'm like, I'm not gonna play this game. But does it actually get better? Like, when you said best use for it, like, I didn't say anything.
Well, there's no use for it, but I say it's my favorite because it's the only game that I can play. I can crank it up 100%, the 3D that is. I can crank it up 100%, and I never have to turn it off because it's not intense at all.
Yeah, I did that. I did that with Mario 3D Land. I don't have to. I turned it all the way up too. Oh, I could. Yeah, totally do it. I couldn't do it with Pilot Wings, and I couldn't do it with Ridge Racer. But anyway, I was kind of joking.
Maybe not for Ridge Racer. Ridge Racer depends, but for Pilot Wings and for Mario, I had it turned up all the way.
Mario definitely did. For Pilot Wings, I'd have it up kind of all the way, and then I saw the same problem with 3D. After about 15 minutes,
starts getting blurry.
It doesn't start getting blurry. It just stops looking 3D, and I got to turn off the 3D and. Turn up 3D, be like, oh shit, it is 3D. It's kind of like when you're in the movie theater where you're like, is this, you're like, take your, you tip your glasses down, and you're like, oh yeah, shit, that is 3D, that's cool. Cause you just kind of get used to it. It's kind of like, oh, okay, well, whatever. So I find myself doing that all the time. I'd be like, oh, what does it look like 2D? Oh, okay, there's kind of a difference. Alright, cool. But I totally brought that up as a joke. That wasn't really the game I was talking about, but good thing we spent a couple minutes on that. I played some Street Fighter Cross Tekken today at the GameStops by my work.
Yeah, I heard that game's okay.
It's not half bad. Not half bad. I'm not going to go into too much about it because I literally played it for about... I went there. I played it for about an hour on my lunch break and then went back to work. And I was just... I had the giddies. I was like, oh my god, I'm so excited. This is like... I'm sitting there. And as I'm sitting there at work, I'm like... Before I got to play it, I had all these ideas in my mind for combos and stuff. I'm like, holy shit. I just tried it out for like... an hour, and I didn't even try any of these combos. I was thinking in my head, I gotta go back. So I was like, okay, I went back for like another half an hour. I'm like, hopefully my boss doesn't notice. But, I wish he didn't. But, that game's fun, man. Early impressions, it's a lot more lenient than I thought it would be in regards to timing for juggle combos and for all that kind of stuff. So much more, I'd say it's more lenient than Marvel vs. Capcom 3, which that game's very lenient with combos and juggling, things around that nature. I don't know, not much to say if you guys have anything, like, it's just like...
Well, I'm actually curious to hear if you played with any of the Tekken characters and how they differ.
No, I did not play with any Tekken characters. I was just, like, excited to play for, like, limited time. Like, I'm gonna go with my mains, Vega and Ryu, for the most part, and I threw in some Ken there. Just cause, like, oh, well, these probably have easy combos together. And kind of mess around with the mechanics and stuff like that.
Do they play basically the same, like, the full combo list, or is it more, like... watered down like a Marvel versus Capcom.
Well, I wouldn't even say Marvel vs. Capcom's war. What do you mean by like?
Well, like for instance, take Ryu and Street Fighter, and take Ryu and
Ryu and Street Fighter 4 and Ryu and Street Fighter Cross Tekken are way more similar than Ryu and Marvel vs. Capcom.
Okay, but is his moveset exactly the same, or did they move it around a little bit?
They're different in regards to like they got Ryu's pretty much got the same moveset, but he's also got his Donkey Kick, which he's had since like Street Fighter Third Strike,
right?
Which is like his big like sidekick thing that can wall bounce stuff like that. So it is kind of they have different kind of movesets. Some of the characters, and for the most part, you can do basic bread and butter combos in this game that would work in Street Fighter 4.
Right.
But they're not necessarily the most effective way you should play the game. It's all about the cross rush and the cross assault, where it's like you're doing a chain combo to tag in your other character to continue the combo on and stuff like that. And I didn't mess around with some things like Pandora. That's kind of like the comeback move of this game, where if you're 25% health or less, you sacrifice your other character, and then you have a power buff. And you have unlimited meter, but only for 8 seconds. And then if you don't kill off your opponent in 8 seconds, you lose the round. So it's kind of like a really big gamble, which I like the theory of that, because it's not like X Factor in Marvel vs. Capcom 3, where it's like, if you got somebody in a really long combo and you have X Factor and you activate X Factor, you pretty much wipe out the other guy's like entire team.
Right.
It's like, it's just not fair. Whereas this is not, like, doesn't seem like it's gonna be like that at all, but I didn't really mess around with that too much. Like, I really just kind of messed around the training room. Fought a couple of versus matches and played through the arcade mode once. But yeah, I was impressed. It was the first time where I've seen videos of a fighting game and thought this is what the timing of this should be. And actually, when I played it first time, that's exactly what it was. Like, it wasn't like Mortal Kombat. I was like, this should be easy. I can try this combo. Like, oh wait, the timing's totally not like this at all. What I thought it was going to, or like Marvel vs. Capcom 3 in some instances, or even Street Fighter 4. It really is like. It's a game that I can totally see people picking up on a basic level, like casual level, as long as you teach them like the basic stuff, like how to execute like the crash rush stuff, and them liking it. But it looks like there could be some depth there to get the hardcore like fighting game community involved. Like right now, everyone's all about it because it's new. They have the whole Capcom's and the whole cross salt thing that they're doing online and that kind of thing. But there are things that kind of worry me from just playing with it for a little bit. Is that it did seem kind of basic in terms of not basic in terms of like there's a lot of shit. There's more shit you can do in this than there is in Street Fighter 4, which might scare off some people, but a lot of the stuff just seems easier to do. Just felt very lenient, but it kind of felt like it played more like Street Fighter than Marvel's Capcom. So if you don't like the first of the series, you might want to try this out, because it's not as fast. It's a little bit more basic. There's no assists like Marvel's Capcom, where you call an assist character to like prolong a combo. It's all like your on-point character, and then if you want to bring in your secondary character with a variety of ways, there you go. There's no other, like, just have this character come in for, like, 1 second, hit once, and then die back out, which a lot of people, you know, new people wouldn't grab their head around Marvel's Capcom. It'd be kind of intimidating. But yeah, I don't know. I enjoyed it. It got me excited. It's going to make this next 4 days excruciating, even more so than it already was, because there's just things going on in my mind. Like, I can't wait to get my hands on the actual game with an arcade stick, because I play this with a control pad, and I'm like, that's not how I usually play fighting games. But I loved it. Oh, I can't fucking wait. I mean, you guys, I don't know if you guys are sitting in it at all, but I'd recommend probably not getting it, because I don't think it's going to be any kind of, like, deal-breaker for you guys. Like, oh, I'm going to all of a sudden love playing fighting games and play it, like, all the time. But it's definitely, I don't know. What are you saying?
I was sitting here, and if I were to pick up this game, which I may do it in the long run and everything, but it looks like if I do, I might just pick up the Vita version. Mm-hmm. Because of the fact that, it's the only version with Blanca in it.
Well, that won't be the case when that comes out, though. I guess, you didn't listen to the show, but we talked about this last week.
Where right.
I pretty much guarantee that's going to be the super ultimate version of this game. It'll be DLC for Xbox and PS3, probably. Because there's like, what,
of course it
seven,
is.
Seven
I mean,
new
who
characters?
Are we talking about here? Of course it is.
Yeah, well, like then there you go. You don't have to just get the Vita version.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, you just take back. Like, it's the only version that's going to have Blanca. I mean, of course it's going to have all those new characters.
I would be more apt to pick this up day one for two reasons. Well, the main reason I would want to pick it up day one is because of the fact that, you know, I kind of passed on Arcade Edition. I wanted to give myself a little sabbatical from Street Fighter.
Yeah.
A big sabbatical from Street Fighter. But also it's coming on Mass Effect Day, so like there's just no way I can justify two games. So Mass Effect.
I'm getting
precedence.
Props to Better Tomorrow. You managed to secure me a limited edition 360 copy of Mass Effect, and I'm, to be honest, I love Mass Effect, but literally my hype right now for Street Fighter Cross Tekken is retarded. Like I probably wouldn't even touch Mass Effect. Probably won't even touch Mass Effect 3. Probably for at least a week after. I'm guessing. Which, there's nothing really wrong with that, but yeah, no spoilers. Just saying. But yeah, that's it, man. I wish I could talk about more about it, but I want to play with, like, at least someone, like, or talk about it with someone else who's played it, or I go more in depth about, like, you know, mechanics and how stuff works, but we're already running really fucking late, and I really only
played
for an hour and a half, so yeah. Let's go for the news. Want to do some news? Let's do some news.
Let's do some news.
Yeah. We got some news. Hey, guess what?
What?
It's true. Microsoft's working on a new console. It's codenamed Durango, according to Crytek, who tweeted that on their Twitters. Codenamed Durango, new Xbox.
Ooh.
So, if anything, that confirms that, hey, they're working on a new console. In other news, there's going to be a Call of Duty game released this year.
Who'd have thunk it?
Yeah.
Who'd have thunk it? Hey, there's Infinite. Another game that's coming out this year, too.
What? Bioshock Infinite?
Assassin's Creed.
Damn! Oh, that... Okay, you want to jump right in that, too? Okay.
who'd have thunk it? Who'd have thunk an Assassin's...
And it's not 2-3.
No, it is not 2-3.
No,
it is actually
2-4. 2-4, yeah. That's right. Yeah, 2-4.
It's actually 3. It got leaked one day, and Ubisoft was actually going to announce
yesterday.
It...
Yesterday, yeah.
They were going to actually officially announce it on March 5th. Because I guess steal the thunder away from the Mass Effect release, doing it the Monday before Mass Effect releases. But it leaked via Best Buy from a Best Buy employee, and then after that they added it today, which is the Thursday we're recording. So Assassin's Creed 3 is gonna happen. Pretty much all the rumors were true that it's going to take place during the American Revolution. It is absolutely I'm a huge U.S. history buff, and this is my favorite time period. 100% favorite time period.
Really? Because I saw that it was going to be American Revolution, and immediately said meh. Because what was interesting about the other games to me was the setting, and I have no interest whatsoever in the American Revolution, because I learned about that shit already. Give me something different. I want something different.
Here's what interests me about the American Revolution, okay? It's, you know, it happened far ago and a long time ago to where, you know, it's almost mythological because you can only see movies about it or read books. But on top of the fact that it did happen, you know, a little over 200 years ago, so it's still real. So it's a little mix of that. So there's a lot of good story to tell. But I think what the Assassin's Creed prior games did, you know, really, really well was they used the real life characters that, you know, real famous people like Leonardo da Vinci and Giovanni and all these big characters that, you know, these people that really existed and put them into the fiction. I mean, they have a huge, huge, huge cast, you know. It's almost kind of like, I mean, looking at pictures that they've released so far, you know, George Washington is going to be a character in some fashion in this game. I'm crossing my fingers for a Metal Gear Solid 2-esque cut where you're not the assassin anymore. You're a badass George Washington that's like slitting throats and shit. Let's hope that happens. And when, you know, you get Adams, you got, you know, fuck, I can't think of people's names right now. I'm just drawing blanks. But, you know, you have a great big assortment for villains. You got Benedict Arnold, who can be a great villain in this series and everything as well. So you got so many cool things here. The setting, yeah, it's really confusing. Like, you know, you could do New York. There were about 50,000 people living in the 18th century at that time. You know, Philadelphia had about 25,000 people living in that city. So you can do things there. There's not like these big towers and everything, you know, like Rome had and everything. That's not there. But the one thing that setting does is take something that they never did in the Assassin's Creed series was have like these big wilderness areas. Because, I mean, there was nothing but tall trees, you know, everywhere. So the changing the, you know, taking the buildings and swapping them out for tall trees and everything and hiding in wilderness. Coming off of just reading the Hunger Games, I think it can work because there was a lot of that in Hunger Games, and I really feel that if it's done right, you know, there could be some good gaming there, you know. So I'm really hyped about it. I think there's a lot of cool stuff in there. You know, one of my
stuff
favorite
things. Stuff that could be
there. Well, stuff that could be there. It's all speculation. Right, one of the things that's speculation that's pretty much damn near confirmed is the fact that the main character is going to be Native American. I think that is my most favorite aspect of this game at this point right now, because just the thought of having a really great, positive, you know, main protagonist as a Native American at this state of gaming, where it's usually mostly like white, Jason Bourne, James Bond-esque, you know, superhero type guys, you know, in the days of, you know, Nathan Drake and, you know, in Solid Snake, we don't have anything like that. It was what Prey was the only game I can think of where there was a positive, you know, male protagonist with some actual, you know, great, you know, character growth and everything. And with what Ubisoft can do with, you know, because they really developed Ezio really, really well. You know, they took Ezio from kind of an unlikable guy in the very beginning of the game to someone who is.
Yeah, it took three games to do it.
They did a really good job at Ezio. They did a fantastic
they
job.
They did. Like, two was good. Well, that's my problem, though. Like, I saw the cover for this, and it does look awesome, but really that what the main character looks like it could just be a skin Assassin's Creed 2. Like, that's what scares me. Like, is this going to be that much of like a new engine or reboot? Like, not a reboot of the series. It doesn't need a reboot, obviously, but like, it's, I don't know.
They did come out today and say that this game has been in development for 3 years.
Okay, well, good.
That they've had a team on this
game.
That's
what I want, because I wanted, like, when they first started the whole thing with with what's his name, sorry, I'm getting overcalled.
Ezio Altair.
Not Ezio. Desmond. Altair. Desmond. Okay. Like, the whole eventually it's going to become to the modern day, like, society.
And I'm
that's
glad
kind
they're not
of
doing
like,
that. I'm glad
well,
they're
thing
not
thing is, I'm not, because I'm like, now this, to me, says, like, okay, well, look how well it did in this era. Let's just slowly go through the different eras until we have to do the one where we're leading to in the first
Desmond's
game
story
along.
Would be much more interesting to me.
That's exactly the same.
And you know
here,
what?
Because that's a character
not,
that they've been trying to.
That's not off the market. You know, there could be.
No,
some
no, no. I'm not saying they are. I'm just saying coincide. This to me. This is like they totally changed their idea because it's well. This is me looking at this the pessimistic way because like I'm not a huge Assassin's Creed fan. The main reason is I feel like the games don't play different. And like it's just like I got my fix with Assassin's Creed 2, but then again, I never played Brotherhood. I never played Revelations. But from what I've seen, I'm just like I want to see it in a brand new setting. Like I feel like this is a way that they can kind of do it. In a similar kind of, well, maybe not. don't know, we'll see. I don't know. I was kind of looking forward to the whole present day or even in the future type Assassin's Creed kind of thing. That's what I got from the first game, right, with the whole Desmond thing and the, what the fuck's the thing called he's in?
The Animus,
yeah, exactly. Like,
the thing is, that could still be there. There could be some modern day.
That's true. We don't know. This is literally, it's basically the cover art, so we don't know anything. But yeah. I will say, I really like the design. The new character, they really did it well. Like, the fact that they're going this much in the future to where the first one was, and still kind of have that Assassin's Creed feel to, like, what the guy's wearing and shit, and still make it relevant to that time period, it is pretty awesome. I will say that. But, yeah, we'll see.
I'm excited.
I'm happy it's 3 finally. The fact that you said it's been in development for like 3 years, that's good. So that basically tells me they started working at this around the same time they started working at number 2.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, good stuff. I don't know why, but I had it in my head that this was a trilogy game, and I think that, didn't they say that? At one point?
Originally, I think they might. Yeah, that's when I was like, hey, we're doing a trilogy.
And now it sounds like it's not.
No, it's not going to be for sure. There's going to be Assassin's Creed 3, 3, 2, 3, 3.
In the end, there's going to have to be like a Desmond-centric game, right? Even if it doesn't happen Japan. In 3.
I just really think that
it's called Tenchu.
Exactly. It's like they could have done feudal Japan. They could have done modern day and had Desmond with all of the buildings.
Technically,
that
they did modern
now.
Day already. It's called Splinter Cell.
Well, yeah.
But, I mean, not really.
You get what I'm saying.
I know exactly what you're saying.
I don't feel like the American Revolution is an interesting time to do something like that.
This is coming from you. How do you think I feel?
Exactly.
How do you think people in in Europe feel, like in England? How do you think they feel? Because the red coats are going to be ones that you're going to be going up against. Which I'm actually kind of curious how deep historically
both,
Ubisoft's going to get into this, though, because when you look at the Native Americans in the during that time, they were actually fighting for the British because the British were coming over, you know, promising them protection if they defeated the colonists. So on the cover art, it's a Native American assassin about to hatchet a redcoat in the face. So it's like, to me, how are they going to base that within the true history of the series? So I don't know. We'll see.
But it's exciting for a lot of people. I mean, Assassin's Creed's got a huge fan base. That's one of those games that, I don't know what happened, but it went from zero, like, new IP to one of the best-selling series of, like, this generation and of, like, all time.
Yeah.
So, got a huge following.
I'm super hype. Ah, goddamn.
Yeah, my hype is pretty much zero, unfortunately.
And, well, always your hype. How was it for BioShock Infinite? Because that's coming out
pretty
on
high.
October
16th.
That
I'm actually kind of hyped about. Actually, seeing some of the screens for that is like, you know, I do have BioShock on Steam. Might be time to go back and play that game.
Chris, that's an awesome game, man.
Now that I have a super beefy computer and I could probably run it at max res and, you know, max settings.
Well, it's coming out October 16th. So we have a long way to wait. Not till the fall, but that's when it's coming out.
That is cool.
That's the news for everything that we you know.
I have a couple things that I'm going to throw out really fast, and then we're going to take a break. So apparently we're going to get some new Vita games announced next week, and I have a feeling we're going to hear about Monster Hunter in Japan, which would be a big hit.
Ooh,
Japan gives a shit. Shut the fuck up.
Monster Hunter games,
so,
I don't get them.
So yeah, we have no idea what's being announced. Chris, do you have any like...
So we're doing a news segment on an announcement that's going to be an announcement?
Basically,
no, I'm speculating Monster Hunter. That's why I mentioned it.
What do you? Can you speculate Monster Hunter? Because that seems probably the most accurate thing. But what do you want?
I want something new. I want more games like Gravity Rush.
Like Gravity Rush? Yes. Which got a date as well.
Yes, June 21st.
Yep.
Oh, June. Wow. That's that far.
Yeah, it's pretty far out. I didn't realize.
For something that was supposed to be a launch game? That's pretty far away, yeah. But you know what? For
really
my
quick
opinion,
guys, really quick guys. It's like fucking 10 after 11 here.
Hey, I'm okay. I'm talking video games, man.
Yes, but I have to wake up in the morning, so hurry the fuck
exactly.
up.
Okay, I want Valkyria Chronicles 3.
Well, I gotta hurry yeah, but first. That's not gonna happen because that's already out.
I don't think it's gonna happen yet.
It's already out.
Okay, so these
announcements just for Japan that Japan's getting, or is it games that US is getting too?
I think it's just Japan.
Okay,
it's
so
it's a Japanese announcement, I believe.
Okay, yeah. Well,
so,
never mind. Then.
So if anything, it would be Valkyria Chronicles 4, which
would also Kingdom Hearts.
That would be surprised. So did you guys hear about this shit about not being able to earn trophies on pre-owned PS Vita games?
What?
Apparently, someone, grabbed someone else's Vita card and tried to play the game, and it popped up with a little message that says, you will not earn trophies. Because it saves to the card that it's already been used or something. But
Really?
Yeah, so this was an issue that popped up. But apparently you can go in and format the card and then it takes all that away. So
nice.
That's still pretty cool. I think that's a good incentive though. I think that's better than a lot of the other shit people are doing. It just shows you how much people think trophies and achievements are crack.
Yeah.
No, I can't adjourn them. Oh, I need to buy this new
need
then.
To buy a
Fuck
new.
It. Yeah.
See,
that's
for me, like at first I was like, who gives
really
a shit
want,
this?
Right?
But then I thought about the other side of it. Like if they established this within Xbox Live and I couldn't drop some achievements, I would freak out. I would freak out.
Yeah. I think that's a brilliant idea that Sony did that. If it's only stuck.
Yeah. I think it's funny.
Well, it's not hurting anybody.
It's like not everybody knows how to clear it out.
Yep.
Well, no, even whether they can or not, I'm like, it doesn't hurt. It doesn't hurt someone who buys it new. And the only thing is, it's not letting someone who buys it used get something that's worth nothing.
Pretty much.
But the fact that everyone's so fucking compulsive
addicted
to shit
them,
and
right.
love it,
you
that
don't
they're
lose
be like,
any. You don't lose any in-game content. You
yeah,
don't
exactly.
Lose any, you don't
that,
lose online play.
I bet that would fucking get probably at least, I'd say about 30% of the people that buy used be like, I gotta buy new just to have that shit.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, yeah. If they stop achieving, if they did that with the Xbox 360 and you couldn't get achievements with playing used games, I guarantee you I would buy at least 3, 4, maybe even 5 more new games a year.
Yeah.
Easily. Easily.
Well, speaking of the Vita, they are saying, I've seen two different numbers. I saw one number that says that worldwide sales after the Western launch reached 1.2 million, and I heard that it reached 1.4 million. Mm-hmm. I don't know which one is accurate, but
either one
nice
of those, I'm surprised.
It's also the first time Sony has ever released sales numbers on a launch and combined it worldwide.
Well, here's the real situation, right? They sold 600,000 in the East before the American launch,
yeah,
or before the Western launch, and then they sold another 600,000 with the Western launch.
Mm-hmm.
They came out and said that pretty much.
Did they really come out and say that?
Well, they said they said that the Japan total was 578,000 something.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then you fill in Asia, you know, like Hong
Europe.
Kong and stuff like that. But Europe was at the same time as us. Asia got
it
before.
Day. Okay, I thought Europe for some reason had it earlier too.
No, I honestly didn't think the Vita would sell that well in the States.
It's less than the 3DS though, but it's still
the same amount of time. It's about the same. It's about the same, if not more.
I was surprised.
I'll send you a link, but yeah, it's not. And it's like there's a whole thing about the whole way that Sony presented this. Everyone's kind of like, well, we don't know about this. Like it's selling. Of course, it's going to sell well in its first month. I mean, it's gonna happen.
I agree.
Like I said, we'll have this conversation again 2 months from now and see how well it's doing.
It depends on the games
all the people
too,
like you guys and us. Like,
No. We'll have this conversation a year from now.
Yeah.
Because 2 months from now is not a good indicator, just like it was.
No, it's not. But we will definitely have this.
We'll have this conversation again.
Yes.
I don't expect.
Sure.
Let me make this clear. I do not expect the Vita to do as well as the 3DS. Period.
Yeah, absolutely.
Not this year.
Because you're also not going to see the Vita drop $70 in price within this year. You're also not going to see that.
Right.
So, I think we'll see it drop 50, but no, even not 70.
Yeah, it's not going to drop 70 or 80 bucks like the 3DS did. It also determines, you know, if they're, you know, a year from today, if their game releases and their announcements of games and everything is as strong as that launch lineup is. They could have they're not going to have a shot in hell in beating the 3DS, but I think they will match or beat their sales of the PSP easily. But they have to release some.
I don't think
serious...
you can really judge it that way.
Yeah,
well,
that's true.
Even if they don't match the sales of the PSP, I think that this particular machine is going to be judged on software sold because PSP sold 70 million
sold
units,
amazing.
But
yeah,
the attach rate was less
was
one
terrible. Yeah.
I think the digital sales will help that.
I agree with that.
Because actually, I saw the numbers. It was like on average, it was like people were buying 2.5 games. The attach rates for games were like 2.5.
Yeah.
On average,
the
PSP had like a 2.3. Like I said, you cannot go by launch. You cannot go by because it's all the hardcore gamers.
You can't go by launch on the long term. You can still say it's a good launch.
For sure, it's definitely good. I mean, it's definitely it's a good launch for sure. But that doesn't mean anything. I mean, launches can be. You can have a shitty launch and do really fucking well later on.
3DS,
PS3,
PS3,
PS3, exactly.
Again,
really
drop. you know, $300 in price for that.
But it happened.
It got there. If there's one thing I've learned in marketing, the best marketing is a big price drop. Cut it in half.
I think a price drop could happen this year because they did say that the components themselves for the 3G model now is about $170. So there's room there as far as the components go, but that doesn't include like marketing, R&D, production,
middleman stuff thing.
I don't know.
I think they actually want to drop the price before they launch it, but they just knew they couldn't because they announced it would just look bad. They got to give it some time, see how it does in the market, and then they might Nintendo did it, and it was better off. Like, everyone's like, oh, wow, it's going to look bad. Nintendo dropped the price of their 3DS, like, 4 months after launch.
Hey, if they do sort of ambassador program like they did with the 3DS,
yeah,
I'll be
exactly.
Fine with that.
Like, look what happened. It was the best thing that ever happened to the 3DS. Yeah. Mind you, Monster Hunter happened, and so did fucking, like, Mario Kart and Mario 3D Land, all that stuff. But if Sony can do the same thing.
See how it does.
Write it out for a few months, be like, sales aren't great, let's drop the price, and let's get some killer apps out there, and boom, it could just... We can do better than the launch months.
Well, so. I'm sure we'll talk a little bit more about this after we come back from break. So let's do that. Let's take a break.
Right.
When we come back, we're going to talk about cross-play between platforms, between handheld and consoles. And then we're going to do new releases, listener email, any new question of the week. So stay with us, and we'll be right back.
Right back. It's time to wake up.
And welcome back.
You're welcome back.
Hope you enjoyed that short break for
yes,
you.
Yes, I did.
Very short. It seems just like yesterday we were recording the podcast.
I felt like I had to had a whole day of work and shit in between. It really sucked.
Yeah, and hiding in a closet.
Yeah, yeah.
literally.
Yeah, you saw Toto and Dorothy, you know.
That's right. So in case you guys aren't aware, we're recording the second half the day after, and it's Friday. And we just had some pretty bad storms and tornadoes run across Georgia. So about when it was time for us to start recording, I told the guys, sorry, I got to go wake up the wife and kid and stick them in a closet.
But everything's good. Chris and then is now good. Officially out the closet and he's ready
I'm
to podcast.
Yeah, you're so you're out of the closet.
Gay, married. Yeah. So MPH, if you get my message. Anyway, today we are going to be talking about some cross play between platforms and basically what kind of impact this may or may not have. We did get a couple of emails on this. I know that we were late to the getting the topic up on Retroids, and that's kind
we
of
had
our
some
fault.
Mix up,
so,
yeah.
I've got a couple topics that these guys are going to.
And we had a really long first half too. So
that's right. That's right. So, but we are going to try and get through this as quickly as possible because I've still got storms coming through. So
yeah,
let's do it.
And I got
hey, Travis, why don't you give us an email?
All right, Zeke comes in, says hi.
Hey,
I think that handheld mobile gaming is going to be more and more of a niche market. With pricing at $40, I don't see a mass adaptation for a PS Vita anytime soon. With less demand out there, prices will keep at the current level, and there you have your vicious cycle. The only compelling reason to get a PS Vita is if you travel a lot and are away from your console. I think the PS Vita will sell mostly to hardcore gamers who already own a PS3. I would get one if it did remote play on every game so I could sneak play on my couch while spending time with my fiancé.
Sneak time in there. What are you doing? Nothing. I'm not playing video games.
It's like the commercial where the dude's checking, watching highlights of the game while he's at dinner with his
yeah.
Yes.
Like, what do you think? I'm some sort of summoner? I can summon, footage to my phone? Come on.
So Zeke says, summing up, I don't think the cross-platform play will affect the PS Vita sales. Those who are interested in that would probably get one anyhow. Laters, Zeke. P.S. I know this was not the question, but the mobile gaming that will grow will be iOS and Android cross-platform play. Mark my words, DS. Or it could be like a smiley face with a squiggly line over it. I don't. It says DS. I'm not sure. I don't get emoticons. I don't understand. I don't speak emote. So,
well, I will agree for sure with one thing, and that is that the main demographic that this is going to sell to is going to be people that already have a PS3.
Yeah, for sure.
And the thing is that that's not really a bad thing. There's 60 million PS3s out there. Mm-hmm. So, if they
that's a good game plan.
Yeah, and I think that the remote play, from what I understand, it's going to get much, much better to the point where, the majority of games that are coming out in the future will be able to use it. That kind of thing,
right?
Because they're going to be able to have a lot of different interfaces to help speed up the lag between the two,
right?
So that's a we'll see thing, though. I mean, that's you can only be as good as a tech, and maybe they'll get it, maybe they won't. Who knows? But
yeah,
I do
agree with him that it is going to be kind of niche of the cross console play. I think maybe 30% of the people who own PS Vitas, maybe 40% of the Vita owners will actually use that. Maybe
that's way high, way too high.
Do you think that's really high?
God,
because look at the thing. Because the main big sellers of this, in my opinion, are going to be sports games. I think sports games are going to be the true barometer for this venture that Sony's going to try to do. They're already starting it with MLB The Show, which comes out on Mass Effect Day.
Which is a really good idea.
You think 40% of people who bought Vitas are sports game players?
Does that matter? That's not what I'm saying. But
no, but you said 30 to 40% of people have Vita would do this, which basically means that 30 to 40% of people who buy Vita will play sports games on it.
No, that's two totally different things. What I'm saying, I'm giving you that I feel that around 30% of the entire Vita, you know, console space will want to and give the cross-platform play a shot. But I think where this is going to thrive is the sports genre.
Okay, gotcha.
Okay, and it's going to start with MLB The Show. Because they're releasing on March 6th, they're releasing simultaneous, you know, on Vita and on a PS3. You know, retailers like GameStop, like Best Buy, they already have plans. It's already happening on release day that if you buy both games, you can get them both for $80. Mm-hmm.
That's good.
That's very, very
good.
That's
what I was hoping would happen. But the question is that a retailer thing or is that Sony doing that?
Oh, well, we don't know. There's no way to tell,
that needs
really.
To be Sony doing that. They need to be saying, if you know, we are trying to incentivize, is that a word? Incentivize?
Sure.
To the point where you will want to do this. And if they drop $10 off of each game, that's good. That's good for me. Right. You know?
I'll drop 80 on Madden to get both of them.
Yeah, no
quick.
Doubt. Well,
quick.
I mean, I won't, but you get the point.
Yeah. A game that you would be interested in.
Exactly. And I'm going to drop a conversation starter after we get through our second email. So I'm going to let Travis do that, but I have another direction that I want to go with this, and I want to see what you guys think. So Travis, let's do the next email.
All right, I'm going to hand over the keys to Sean Recupido. He's going to drive off and say, I don't think that cross-play will save portable gaming. I think it is great, though, for people who already have both. I personally don't think portable gaming is going anywhere because gaming without buttons sucks for anything other than simple games. Now, there will always be a market for people who want to play hardcore games on the go. I could play Wipeout on a on a 3-hour road trip from my house and be like, we're there already. I like to read and listen to podcasts
or
in situations
like... shit, I gotta recharge my battery. Motherfucker.
No, this is the Vita, not the 3DS.
Well, yeah.
I like to read and listen to podcasts in situations...
2 hours and 45 minutes.
There you go. I like to read and listen to podcasts in situations like this, but nothing seems to pass the time as quickly as an in-depth game. I just don't see that happening with mobile gaming as long as there are no physical controls. So in conclusion, I will carry both my phone and Vita, and if my phone is my only option for gaming, I will fuck around on Twitter instead. So, now, I kind of had this epiphany earlier today. You know, I think Sony can make money off of the Vita in general, especially doing some, you know, with some of this really interesting cross, you know, platform play. I think they can make money in this business where, you know, kind of like, you know, mobile phone gaming has just run rampant. But that being said, that they can make money, I have this nagging suspicion, and this is like going way further in the future, but I just have the nagging suspicion that this is the last Sony handheld. Like, I don't know, like, am I the only one that feels that way? Like,
I
feel like this is a last
hurrah. Months ago, and you guys totally
really
disagree. Yeah, I was saying that if anything, this will be like the last portable system because I really don't think it's going anywhere. Like, I don't think the money that's spent doing R&D and all this stuff and the games isn't they're not gonna make their money back. Like, they will get their money back for probably like the Vita, but then they'll be like, yeah, it ain't fucking worth it anymore, guys. Because as much as like Sean said, we all agree, gaming without buttons sucks. But that's not the point. It doesn't matter what we think. Because hardcore gamers are the small, small minority of people who buy games.
Yeah,
they're extremely small. So what we say really does not matter.
Yeah.
So unless somehow they can break into that casual market and sell these Vitas and Nintendo sell these 3DSs, they managed to do it with the DS, but who knows what they can do with the 3DS. And unless they can break into that casual market and actually grow it, the hardcore market, I totally agree with you. I think this could be the last generation of portable as we know it now. Anyway.
Yeah. Or they could just drop some of that hot Sony marketing on the TV and just blow us away and sell millions of
copies. Will say the best Vita commercial I saw was the one where they had MLB The Show and they show the guy playing it at home.
Picks it up and he just walks off with it.
And that's what they need to do. That's exactly what they need to do. They need to just pound it in people's brains. You know, as cool as that, you know, Sony commercial where, you know, all the characters in the bar having a drink and talking and saying quotes and stuff like that, as cool as that was, fuck, guys, just show a guy playing a game and then walking off and finishing his game on his Vita. Show that stuff. To me, that is eye-opening. People, you know,
most definitely.
The reason that the iPad is selling is because people like Apple and this big-ass tablet. Like, I like my iPhone, but man, how ingenious
it
would
shows
be if
size
it was bigger.
Doesn't matter.
But how awesome it would be if this was bigger and more powerful. Like, boom, they did it.
Well, it's not more powerful.
Well, it's not more powerful, but in general, like, still, you know, they were like... people just like to see things that are just, oh, I've never seen that before. I need to get that. But something that's
but also easy to use too.
It's easy to use and is spoon fed. People like you know, they're marketing spoon fed to them, and that MLB commercial does that. And that's perfect. You don't need the Kevin Butler coming in and making jokes and stuff like that. You don't need that. Just show that.
I need that.
Fuck, we're making funny. Like, yeah, we're gamers. We think that's funny. We're combine the two. Have humor and, dude, even have something like the guy's like, needs to go to the bathroom really bad or something like that. And he's like in the middle of something and he's playing like an online game or whatever. And he's like, oh crap. And then you just see him on the toilet using it. I'm sure they wouldn't do that, but that's like humor. That'd be like, show you
how to
use it.
Keeping it real. Like, yeah, it'd be exactly. Sony. Keeping it real.
Keeping it real.
It's our Keeping It Real campaign. We're going to show what it's really
when
like.
When you can't pause real life. shit.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's hard to say at this point, but what I'm really curious to see is, you know, is Nintendo going to do something with the 3DS to make to counteract what Sony's planning on doing? Because I'm going to be honest with you guys, they do this right, it could work really well. And
I agree,
here's what I was going to say that I wanted to start this conversation. So we already know that in Japan, if they want to sell machines, they need to put out a Monster Hunter game, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
What sells consoles better than anything else here in the U.S.?
Call of Duty.
Yeah.
But here's my question. Does anybody who plays Call of Duty give a fuck about Call of Duty on the Vita if it's not Black Ops 2 with some sort of cloud save where you could pick up your game right away crossplay?
No,
they almost have to do that.
Yeah, they would have to be on your same profile. They'd have to be the same profile. They wouldn't be like, oh, I'm going to game on the Vita now but have a different profile, different kill death ratio, different game. They wouldn't do that.
I played next to none Modern Warfare 3 this year. Next to none. I think I may have mentioned it once for like 10 minutes on the show.
Yeah.
I would probably go back to Black Ops 2 full bore if they do that. Because to me, that's more, that is an interesting way to incorporate the game on an open space. It would kind of make it a refresher because now I have more options. Cause I'm a type of guy where I like options. You know, that's why I play mostly, you know, open world, you know, type bigger games, cause I like options. If I don't want to go through the main campaign, I got options to do this. That's one of my main reasons I'm loving Valkyria. I just have those options. And for me to have the option even on a hardware level to be like, you know what, I can play this game, you know, right here. If I'm on my break at work, I have Wi-Fi at Moe's next door, so I can just pop 30 minutes in on my break, get like 3 good matches in on Call of Duty, and it all counts in my main character when I play at home.
Exactly.
I love that. And that would probably get me, if anything, get me back into the series.
And I would bet that would move consoles, and it would also grab some business from people that have both that currently get Call of Duty on the 360.
Yeah, and I think it would sell Vitas too. I mean, not maybe a massive amount.
I
don't think it'll sell many.
Here's my thought. If this is what they need to do. I mean, you know, they need to put whatever Black Ops 2, that's what they've already said it's going to call it. They're going to call it that, right? So Black Ops 2 needs to be the same game on Vita as it is on PS3. Period.
Yes.
Right?
Period.
It needs to be the same game. Whether you do cross-platform play, or it's just a situation where you can cloud save your account or cloud save your guy and pick him up on the Vita and play against other people on the Vita, either way will work. But sell Call of Duty Black Ops 2 for the same, for one price, $60, get both.
That's never going to happen.
Sony needs to say, Activision, here's some money, do this for us.
They won't do that because of the whole Call of Duty with Microsoft thing. They pretty much have that locked up. And I really don't think, a lot of people who have Call of Duty on the PS3 are the same people that might buy a Vita anyway. Because Call of Duty sells a shitload of sales, but it sells, I'd say, 60% or more on 360? If they could have your profile on Call of Duty, you know how they have the whole Elite thing? Like, that's basically universal.
Right.
Across PS3 and 360. If they could do it where you can take your 360 profile, like it's an actual game thing, like an EA's thing, the
Battlelog or something like that.
Yeah, kind of like that, where it's like it doesn't matter whether you're playing on PS3, 360, or Vita, it's all the same profile. That I think would move more Vitas. Just having it, because I don't think.
Well, yeah,
I really
then people
don't
with
think,
360s would get one too.
Well, exactly. That's what I'm saying. But I really don't think the crowd that plays Call of Duty care to play it. Like, okay, Call of Duty isn't. It's not a hardcore thing like. Like Monster Hunter. Like Monster Hunter, yeah, it's big like Monster Hunter is here, but I don't think a lot of the people who play Call of Duty and buy it every year are that hardcore about the game where they would need to have it on the go at all times.
Oh, it's I agree with that.
Jeff, that's really on the adult front. That's on the adult front. There are a lot of 12 to 16-year-olds who are not driving and who have to ride around with their mom all damn day. And these parents, and trust me, I see it every damn day. These parents are just going to give to their kids so the kid's out of their hair.
I don't think they're going to give their kids a $250 console to play.
You would be fucking surprised, Jeff.
No, because then it games. Surprised. Dude, kids want that everything, Travis. Front, but... Kids, okay, you're telling me there's no way there's a 12-year-old kid who's like, I don't want a Vita right now, but oh my god, this Call of Duty, I want it. When I was 12 years old, I wanted every fucking like piece of technology there was. It didn't matter, but price was always an issue. It's the people that you need to get to have, like, okay, Call of Duty is putting that like carrot on the stick are the people that take it really seriously and have disposable income. It's like, if the system was cheaper, then yeah, I could see that working. But no, when you're 12, 13, 14, 15, you're not looking at, like, there, I bet you there's not a kid on the planet that age who doesn't want, like, either an iPad, a Vita, a 3DS, or something along those lines. And I bet you there's no game in particular that's making them want one of those things. Just the fact that it's cool technology.
I understand, but Jeff, it's not a fact that what, you know what kids want. I see it every day. Parents dropping the money on a 3DS in a game, dropping the money on a Vita. I see it.
It's a total anecdotal evidence, and it could be where you live. I'm sorry, but like $250.
It could be where I live, but I see it every day. I live in bumfucked Egypt, Georgia. Okay, trust me. I don't live in Metro Atlanta. I live in the sticks. All right, I'm right next to Monroe, Georgia. Probably the
most empty
city in the history of the world, okay? Trust me, they're dropping money on these things. I mean, it's just the way it is, man. Like,
no, it's not.
Since, okay, Jeff, totally disagreeing. That is not true. Since you and I's generation and everything like that,
yeah.
it got to the point where parents slowly started just to give
making
give,
more
give,
money.
And give.
Yeah, no, I don't think that's true at all.
That is totally true, dude. It is totally true.
Jeff, people are just giving, dude. Like, that's how parents. I can't believe you're saying this
in the middle of like the recession there where everything's been down all this
time. People
kind of
still
stuff.
Spend money, recession or not.
Oh,
people
dude, Travis,
spend money.
I know that you're not listening. You're doing that thing where you just say, "Oh, you're not listening." It's like, okay, technology. Okay, people can buy it. Yes, they might be buying it there and it might be selling really well. But Call of Duty, okay, Call of Duty and stuff like Monster Hunter and stuff like that in Japan or like say Farmville, anything here, that's breaking into a market that's past hardcore people, the people that are willing to spend big money on consoles or on like $250 piece of technology. This is people that save up their money for a long time or fucking like do whatever they can to get Call of Duty the one game a year, or they're people that only buy two or three games a year. Like say they're sure yes you might be seeing people give them, but that's not the market they need to get. It's the people that are outside of that. And I don't see people buying a $250 device here, like in North America, I really don't think the casual Call of Duty fans are the people that would do that. That would want to play it all the time. I think it's like the Madden people. Like, sure, people will buy Madden, but after the season's done, you think really, like, I'd say the base Madden player would buy a $250 console.
Define casual Call of Duty player.
A casual Call of Duty, the people like the frat boys, just like, they're not necessarily gamers per se, but they go and they play these games, like, with their buddies. They'll play it online here or there. Like athletes,
there.
A lot of athletes have. Yeah,
you're absolutely right. That's not going to happen. And I understand what you're saying. That's what Sony needs to do. They need to capture that market for the Vita.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think that's going to happen.
Okay, so why are we having this discussion then?
Why are we having this discussion? I think you're arguing for one thing, and I'm arguing for the other. Okay,
that
could absolutely be it. Because what you're explaining, has nothing to do with what I'm feeling.
Okay.
Like I think that it's just the way it is. Like, I think Call of Duty will help sell Vitas if they do some sort. Because I'm right exactly where Chris is. If Call of Duty does that, if they have the same exact game, Black Ops 2, on the Vita and on the PS3, and there's some way, if anything, at least just for the multiplayer, for you to carry your character over both ways so you can play, you know, out and about, or you can just play at home, I think that will push Vitas really, really, really well. And I think that includes hardcore gamers who play nothing but Call of Duty, which there are millions of them. On top of that, I also believe that there are parents that are willing to buy their children who are, you know, high school or below, because that's just how people majority,
some spoiled brats in this fucking country.
There are some spoiled ass brats. And they just give and give and give. I mean, seriously, we're in a state of time where my wife teaches 9-year-old kids and they find out that I'm a gamer and they come up to my wife and like, "Dude, we just got a new PlayStation. Does Travis play Gears of War 3 as well?" And it's like, Why are you playing that? Why do you have that? You are 9 years old. Why do you have a $400 piece of equipment that you get to play every day after school when you should be focusing on your shit? That is just the way we live, and these parents are going to drop that money on them. So if this kid, if this game, where this parent knows that Call of Duty is the only thing they play, that's what they always talk about, that's what they want, don't think for a second that for Christmas or their birthday or a fucking C+ on their report card that they're not going to get them that goddamn
Easter.
Console.
People fucking
Call
give
of Duty.
Video games for Easter now. What's
Arbor
about?
Day? I don't care. Arbor like day. It doesn't matter.
Earth like, Day.
I guess we'll
find out, but I'd be willing to wager, put a bet down. I'm sorry, I don't think there's going to be still be some more sales for Call of Duty when it comes down to Vita, but I don't think it's going to put a big spike in it at all.
Oh, I really don't. Yeah, whether it gives
and
a big
thing,
spike
it
or
really
not,
depends
on
how they're going to do it. I mean, as I said, if they release some sort of spin-off Call of Duty, that's not going to do a damn thing. It will not do a damn thing. If they're going to release Call of Duty on the Vita, it has to be Black Ops 2, it has to have cross-play, and they have to have some sort of bundle deal that makes it worth it for people.
Why would they have to have a bundle deal?
Because you guys are saying that people will buy anything, give money, money. Why would that be a bundle then? The way you guys are talking, they can just put it for 60 bucks. But now we're going back to the marketing thing.
It doesn't need to be marketed.
Or 50 bucks, whatever Vita games are.
It does need to be marketed right, though, and I think Chris literally stole the word out of my mouth. If they just did like a Call of Duty Black Ops bundle... You know, we've seen this with the PSP. They made, like, what, four different types of the PSP that was, like, had a different type of trim on it, like Star Wars or God of War.
Like God of War or whatever.
Don't think there won't be, like, you know,
there totally will be.
Yeah, I think that would be a huge benefit for them to market a special edition, you know, Black Ops 2 PS Vita. You know,
they're going to do that. Yeah. They probably will do that. Is it going like Sean Recupero said,
is it going to save portable gaming? Probably not.
I didn't even know it needed saving. I don't think it's going to boost them. I really don't think it's going to tap into a market. Because I guess my main point is those frat boy people and all those people that play Call of Duty like that aren't the ones who are going to want to carry on a console to play the game. Because it's more like, hey guys, let's play some Call of Duty this weekend. All right, cool. Right. And not that you guys are like, hey man, let's go to that party. Bring your Vitas, man. We'll play some Call of Duty while we're there. I don't think it's that same crowd. I think that's like the hardcore gamers. And I'll even say, the kids are probably like in schools, like that high schools and lower, whatever. But I really think, like, we're talking like, how many copies of Modern Warfare 3 sell? Like fucking a billion? Like, I have no idea. And
I think it was 2 billion.
2 billion? Okay, 2 billion. I'd say 1.5 billion of those people aren't the people that are going to carry around. And no matter how good this Call of Duty game, whether it has their gamer tag tied to it or whatever their profile is, they want to carry around a Vita and a phone, whatever phone, just because of Call of Duty. Like, I think it will improve sales of anything. Even if they did it on the 3DS, I think it would sell a few more, even though that'd be terrible. But... Yeah, I don't think it's going to be
terrible.
Like, holy shit!
It's probably
more of an understatement. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I guess my main point is that regardless of how well it moves units, it will definitely not sell if it is not Black Ops 2.
Oh no, it won't. It won't at all. I mean, there's been three. Did they ever come out with Call of Duty on a PSP? I know there was on DS.
You know what? I don't remember.
I don't think there was. I think that was probably when PSP sales were pretty much.
I think
like
you're right. Actually, there were a couple of Medal of Honors and a Brothers at Arms, I think. But never Call of Duty. I don't recall a Call of Duty at all.
Huh. That's kind of weird.
Maybe
there
was a Call of Duty 3 or something like that, like one of the World War II games.
I'm actually looking it up right now. But there was one. Call of Duty Roads to Victory.
That was like the first one, I think, wasn't it? Like a spinoff of the first one?
It was a spinoff of 3, I think.
Oh, 3? Okay.
Okay, yeah.
But yeah, it's still a spinoff. Different. I mean, you know, PSP.
It would have to be the same. It would have to be literally like Wipeout is like with all the HD stuff, or like Street Fighter Cross Tekken is going to be like that's going to be pretty much console identical on the Vita.
It needs to be. And actually, I was when I said package deal, I was talking about, you know, give me like the PS3 version and the Vita version for a discount, like they're doing with the show. Jeff, I'm saying people buy everything, but they still have that bad taste in their mouth if they're paying full price for the same game twice.
It's impossible to get away from that. Right?
It's impossible to get away from that. But
again, Activision.
Activision. But that's
true.
That's why Sony needs to step in and say, this is what we want you guys to do, and we'll give
you
money.
They would have
to
give them a lot of money, probably.
Yeah. And that's the thing. They need to do that. If they have $50 million worth of marketing money, then $25 million worth of marketing money needs to go to that.
Yeah, well, they'd have to get Activision out of Microsoft's pocket first, though.
That's true.
Because that's where they're in bed.
Well,
with
that,
right
that's
now.
For DLC mainly too. Like, you know, them selling controlling Vitas isn't gonna mess with the exclusivity of DLC.
Oh no,
for the
God no, no, it's not gonna do anything.
And so they need to do. They need to.
But I'm more mean like the package and
thing
stuff.
With the DLC too, where if you buy it on the for the PS3,
you get it for
Vita
the other
vice
one.
Versa.
That should be. Yeah. I think that should be fucking across every.
That should be standard anywhere.
I do too. I do too. But yeah, that was one of the big things that sparked my desire to do this, have this conversation, mm-hmm. is because, you know, I think that, you know, everyone says that we don't want ports, we don't want ports, we don't want ports, but ports have
people
their place
do
now.
Yeah, they sell, dude. Ports, yeah, and ports sell like, more than anything, probably, or like rehashes of games and like sequels and sequels and sequels.
Yeah,
like,
how many copies of Peggle do I have again?
Yeah, no.
Yeah, 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 exactly.
Seven?
I think I have Peggle on like three different consoles.
Another big thing is like in Japan, the Monster Hunter thing is in Japan, I hate to say it, but it's more socially acceptable to have a gaming device in Japan. Like everybody has one. Like you see people playing it everywhere. In America, it's getting better in like North America, but it's not quite there where you can be like pull out a game console anywhere and start playing it. It's
just
not. And it's sad. Which we could probably—I'm trying to see a way we can tie that shit into our next topic.
No, there are actually a couple of times, probably a week, where you know someone is saying that and it's usually like middle-aged mothers that are saying this, like, "Oh, these video games, I just don't get it. These are so
stupid." Oh yeah, dude.
And I have to sit there and say, "Well, this is a viable media, just as viable as movies and books and everything."
I have friends that are still like that, dude. Like, I have a friend of mine who's like huge into movies, like the biggest movie geek. And every single time he sees me, he's always making a video game con or whatever. And my big thing is, yeah, well, at least I'm interacting with people playing video games. You sit there and watch
at least
a movie
people
for 2
play
hours.
Video games nowadays. movies.
It's just like it's just terrible. Like these are people my age too, right? So like 30s, whatever, and they still have that kind of mentality. Like, if you play video games a lot, like, you're kind of a nerd. And it's like, well, I don't think that's, you know, people just don't know, you know.
What a depressing life they must live to be at that age. not play video games. Like, what were you doing at, like, 12, 13? Yeah. Like, what were you doing?
G.I. Joe's.
Outside? Get out of here.
Get out of here. That's what are you doing? Playing real baseball? Fuck off. Yeah. Fuck
yeah,
those guys.
I'm trying to think of other ways that they could... You know, I really think that that's the biggest way that they could move Vitas and like you know, make it attractive for the masses, because that's the best selling game there is right now. Mm-hmm. And why not, you know, take advantage of that in some way? But they really need to do it the right
way.
They have to do it
in the first 2 or 3 years. Because it,
they need to do it this year. They need to do it fucking this year.
Pretty much.
They should have started it with FIFA, and they didn't. I think that was a missed opportunity.
Dude, yeah, I actually thought you could do that, and then the guy.
I would have got FIFA day one if that was an option.
Yeah.
Because I think after like if they don't do it this year, next year, like what's gonna happen is when PS4 is out, it kind of moots the whole thing, because you got. It's going to be that jump in graphics and technology again.
The tech is
so it's going to be
different.
Exactly. It's going to be not the same. It's going to be like if Uncharted ever came out. Let's just say for, you know, hypothetically speaking, for argument's sake, Uncharted 3 came out for the PSP at the same time it came out for the PS3. But you can take your save and go back and forth, even though it was like looked way worse than the PSP. You'd be like, what am I missing on the PS3 version? Like, I wouldn't even want to do this. Probably the reason why a lot of people don't buy stuff like Call of Duty on the Wii or their DS if they already have a PS3 or 360, because it's like, it's going to look not that great and probably missing shit, and I just want to do
that. I'll be honest with you, I never even thought about that until now. And now that you brought it up, it's like, I mean, of course the Vita is going to cross over
the PS3.
Over to the PS4.
Oh, God, yeah, for sure.
The fuck are they going to do?
Like, that's what they got to do it now. Yeah. Well, I'm sure if it's going to be like PS2, they're going to have like some Sony studios working on the PS3 stuff, probably a year or two into the PS4, right? So they can still do some stuff.
Oh, I shouldn't have bought a Vita. God damn it. Oh, the bleak realization just hit me that I just made a big mistake.
Yeah, of course it did.
Jeff, you want to buy a Vita? 200 bucks, dog.
Yeah, sure, if you're serious. It's sad how, like, seriously, Shoot Across Tekken is probably going to be that game that gets me to grab one, so, and that's a game I'm already going to have. But the only reason is because it'll be online I'm not sure if it's official yet, but I'm hoping it'll
cross
be
play?
Online with PS3. Yeah,
I haven't seen anything showing crossplay. Yeah.
No, well, I guess I'm just assuming. I really shouldn't assume, especially with Capcom, but...
Whatever. Yeah, I mean, considering their online infrastructure as it is, going from console to console, going from console to different platform may not be the best thing for them.
Hey, maybe Vita has host advantage. You never know.
Maybe they do.
Cool.
Shit.
All right, you guys. You guys want to move on?
Yeah. Why not?
No, that's it. All right. Cool.
Yeah, I mean, I'm good. I mean, is there anything else you guys want to talk about? I mean, that was my thing. Here's my final thing on this. It's like, I think that it's possible that it won't necessarily save it, because I don't think it needs to be.
I don't think it needs saving either.
I think the situation right now is just as it was said in the email. Everybody is always, you know, there's always going to be the person, the group of people that want games with controls rather than just playing with a touchscreen, and I think that is going to stay. The thing about the crossplay, I don't think it needs to save portable gaming. However, I think it can help it become more mainstream.
I don't even think it has to do that, man.
Keep it mainstream and fight off mobile a little bit.
I don't even think it needs to do that. All it needs to do is keep it active. That's all it has to do. It can take a PSP fan, like the base of PSP, because it sold a lot. As long as it keeps the people who own Vitas playing their Vitas and buying games, that's all it needs to do. It doesn't need to grow it at all, I don't think. I think it can sustain, like, the hardcore people, the people that want to play portable games with buttons. I think that is a total viable market. They developers make money off it, just as long as people keep playing it and keep buying new games. Yeah. That's all. That's the reason what killed PSP. It wasn't because they didn't sell. It's because games stopped selling and people sort of, like, stopped using them. So don't even bother growing it. Just make sure people always want a Vita in their hand. And I think, actually, Gateway, what Travis said, sports games. Like, I think that is perfect. Like, there's so many times when I've been like, oh, man, I would totally finish a season of NBA 2K if only I could play this game when I'm not necessarily at home. Because graphics don't really mean that much as long as, you know, the game keeps your score and fucking transfers over. That'd be cool.
I agree.
Yep, pretty much. And I think the Vita's on the way, man, because, you know, we do have PS1 support coming soon. We know we have PS2 support coming soon because they announced, you know, the HD remake of Final Fantasy X. So we know we're going to get PS2 games.
Yeah.
You know, so they keep on putting
I don't know if you can necessarily consider that, because the HD remake is going to be a separate package, just like Shadow of the Colossus and all those others.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
So that doesn't necessarily mean they're going to be emulating PS2 software.
So it'll necessarily be
like they are with PS3.
So it'll necessarily be a Vita game and not a PS2. Okay, I see what you're saying.
That's what I'm getting at.
Well, they need to put PS2 games on there. They need to do that.
I agree. I want some Odin Sphere on my fucking Vita, dude. I do.
And then, you know, grow that. They need to grow that PSP library. Keep those PSP games pumping. More of these awesome downloadable fucking Vita games. You know, more. You know, Monster Blobs Attack and more stuff like that. Like, we need more.
How about marketing that shit? No one even knows that thing exists.
No one knows that thing exists. It's a cool game.
It is a cool game. You know, I like it. I like it a lot.
And you know what? It's not iPhone prices, but
no. But
you know what? $8 for a great game? I dig.
I think it's a good experimental price.
Yeah.
Just throw it out there, see how it does, and if you need to lower the price, whatever. And I don't think it would hurt. I honestly think, even on the DS, I think all portable games should be like $30. I don't care. Like,
I will not disagree with that.
Just $30 just looks good. It doesn't look like it's... A lot of people will be like $40, $50 for a portable game. Bad. But $30, that's not too bad. With a game with buttons, it actually has a cartridge or a disc you put in. I could see people...
It's something physical and tangible that you can hold on to.
Yeah.
And I think that still holds a large piece of the market right there.
Because most people think it's... go ahead.
I was going to say, when you're looking at a downloadable title, it's got that stigma. It's like, downloadable title. And this is the, you know, this is considering console gamers that are used to buying, you know, games, physical media, and actually sticking them into a system. This isn't to say like the main PC gamer that has gotten accustomed to downloading something on Steam.
Right?
But console gamers are used to having something tangible in their hand, and they're willing to pay for that. The thing is that I have seen a lot of complaints about the prices on these portable games, 3DS included. But at the same time, for me, it's like, well, you know, the prices are still cheaper than the PSP when it first hit. So
yeah.
But
I think the people outside of the people who follow this industry like closely realize, like, when you're playing something physical has buttons, I think it's kind of like the stigma is the games are worth more, but I think that they're not breaking into those people that would kind of on the fence about buying this because of the expense of it are literally about $10 away. Because I think they expected, it's an actual physical thing. It actually has buttons. So I'm used to consoles, stuff like this, having a higher price tag. But they need to kind of meet halfway in the middle. They have to be like, well, expected this price, and this is what we will pay. And I think, Sony and Nintendo have to be like, I think that price point's $30.
Yeah,
I think that'd be fucking perfect.
And I will say this, props to Sony for taking the first step, for saying, hey, we're going to have every game digital and they're going to be cheaper.
Yes.
You know, I mean, even if it's just 10%, and 10% is not enough for me to go digital only, but the fact that they took that step, you know, props for that, at least.
You don't have to think about it or look it up online.
Yeah.
Like, shit, is this game even going to be on PSN?
Oh. Yeah. And you don't have to pay for packaging when there is none. You know, that's my big thing, so.
But then you can't resell it to GameStop, Chris.
Oh, well. That's why I buy physical bastards. Shit, dude. I still buy my physical shit. Cool. Are we good?
Yep.
I think so.
All right, let's do some new releases, because next week's a big one.
Oh, my God, it's huge.
Oh, my goodness, next week. So next week for PS3, Street Fighter Cross Tekken.
Yeah.
Mass Effect 3.
Yeah.
MLB The Show. Blades of Time. Major League Baseball 2K12.
Okay, can we stop real quick?
We'll go back to that. I know what you're going to say. You're going to go back to Blades of Time.
Okay, yes.
We'll go back to that, because I have a comment about it, too. Top Gun Hardlock.
That looks so terrible.
I'm sure it is. I would not doubt it for one second. And then on the downloadable front, there will be Mi Coach, which is apparently a Kinect and Move type interactive training game.
Okay.
So there's that. Blades of Time. First of all, we didn't even hear about this game until last week.
When did it happen? When did X-Blades get rebooted? Like,
I saw this on Amazon, I want to say about a month ago for the first time. And I saw the date and it said March 6th. I'm like, really? You're going to put this out alongside Mass Effect 3? Do you have a death wish? I mean, come on. It's just a bad idea. Now, I will say this. I mean, X-Blades was crap. You know, everybody knows that. We've displayed that on the show. But I'm kind of interested in playing like a demo of this game. It's a budget title. It's $40. And
is it a sequel or is it actually a reboot? It doesn't
look bad.
And it's supposed to be like it's a sequel. Let's just say that.
Okay.
Ayumi, it looks completely different. It's not cartoony anymore. It's more realistic. She looks more like they crossed Ayumi with Lara Croft. So she still looks like Ayumi, but she's got like the shorts on instead of like the thong.
Yeah.
And you know, she still has her blades and she gets different types of guns and stuff. And there's a time mechanic, but the difference about the time mechanic is like, it's like when you're fighting a boss. So you can start attacking. And apparently you can shift yourself backwards in time and the person that was just attacking will still be attacking and you're attacking again. So you can have like two or three of yourselves attacking the same guy at the same time.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah, it's an unusual mechanic that I really want to see in action. I have a feeling it's going to be terrible too, but you know what? I'm willing to give a demo a chance or something like that. We'll see. But yeah, I thought it was unusual too, Travis, because it just came out of fucking nowhere. It's like...
Yeah, we didn't even hear it. There's no advertising on it. I mean, you talk budget title. It's budget to the core.
Yeah.
Like, no one's even known about it.
Yeah.
It's weird.
360 apparently is getting I Am Alive next week. Is that...
That's the last
$15, dude. That might be a steal.
Wow. That's the last what's it called? Because they're doing that whole not Summer of Arcade. What's the one they do with this house party? It's the last game of the house party.
Oh, I see. I see. Okay.
Yeah.
I think I'm gonna pick that up.
Yeah, I'll download the trial. Give it a whirl.
Yeah.
Give it a college try.
Yeah. Everything else for 360 I mentioned for PS3 already, except for Country Dance All Stars for Kinect.
Ow!
Fantastic.
Yeah.
The Wii is getting Major League Baseball 2K12. Does anybody really care? 3DS is getting Crush 3D. Those of you that don't know Crush, this is a game made by Sega that
it's a puzzle game
where you can actually shift the entire environment from 2D to 3D and rotate the whole thing. It was a PSP
game, right?
It was a PSP game. Yeah, it's actually pretty damn good. So if you have a 3DS and you don't have this game on PSP, I would say check it out. And then NCIS 3D, you should definitely skip that. I don't know anything about it, but it's going to be crap. I can guarantee it. And then let's see. The Vita is going to be getting Unit 13, which is the third-person shooter that we talked about the demo a couple weeks ago. MLB 12, The Show, and Lego Harry Potter Years 5 through 7.
Anything downloadable on the
I do not have Vita that front? In front of me. I'd have to. I'll try and find a source for that because right now I don't have one.
Has Sony said how aggressive they're going to be with releasing digital content, like on a weekly basis, or have they ever really stated that?
I don't think they've actually said it. I would assume that After the Vita establishes itself as a platform, you'll start seeing shit weekly.
Probably.
I'm feeling that's probably what will happen.
Probably do Tuesday updates, like the PS3.
Yeah, exactly. All right, pick of the week.
Mass Effect 3.
I can't disagree with that, but I'm going to go Street Fighter Cross Tekken.
I'm
slightly more hyped for that.
There's very few games that I'm more hyped about than Mass Effect 3. It's like I've already decided that it's like everything else is getting put on the side.
No, I'm getting both of them. That's for sure. I know. That is for sure.
I'm sure we will have a very large Mass Effect 3 conversation next week.
I'm already hyped for that spoiler show.
I actually will not be, because I'm actually not getting the game till Saturday. Because luckily, Better Tomorrow was able to snag me a limited edition at his store. They couldn't do it at my local GameStop because they ran out of pre-orders. So, and he's actually going to be coming over for some Street Fighter Cross Tekken action. So
nice.
I will get it on Saturday, so I won't be able to talk about it next week, but the week after for sure.
All right, tell that dude to come to InnisFest.
I think he's going to try. He's going to try.
Sweet. All right,
I'm pretty sure you just told him to now anyway. So.
Yeah, that's right. Better Tomorrow. You got to be at InnisFest. Should we do our save the date? Because we have a date already, right?
Pretty much.
Do we have the date for sure?
I think so, because you're stuck, right?
I am. Well, I'm like 98% stuck. So like, if everyone's in agreement with that weekend, then let's do it. I was worried like if there was someone who maybe couldn't do it that weekend, then we'd be like, okay, we can talk and see what we can do. But yeah, if everyone's cool with it, then fuck it.
Yeah. Let's wait until after
MGC.
Oh, people at home are just like, oh, you're killing me, Chris.
Hey, it's likely going to be in October. I'll say it that way.
Can we drop the official title?
Is
that the official title?
Is that going to be it? Are we going to do it? I love it.
Let's wait. We should probably talk about this a little bit first. I love it too.
I give full credit to Nabishin.
I think it was him that said it first.
I believe it was him. So, I mean, if you want to drop it, Chris, drop it.
In this fest for days, son.
4 days, son.
4 days.
The thing is that we need to try and make it 4 days.
Well, no, it's not going to be 4 days, son. It's not like 4 days, comma, son. It's just 4 days.
But why
son.
Can't it be a double meaning, Travis? Why can't we do it that way?
God, because I can't take off that much. Because
we would never even make it to and the that last
means,
day.
Since Jason's gone, like that means I'm most likely going to have to be housing everybody. And I can't house people 4 days, son.
I think it's pretty evident that we're going to have to be pushing the hotels pretty hard this year. So
Well, I
have a feeling that next week and in the following couple of weeks, you guys will be hearing a lot more about Indus Fest.
We'll wait till after MGC. Wait till after MGC, you guys, because I mean, people are looking forward to that and shit. So
yeah,
that's exactly. a couple of weeks. True. So after that, we'll start hitting start getting all up in your faces and grilling shit with Indus Fest stuff.
Good deal.
All up in your business.
Do we have any emails, Travis?
Nothing that I have here.
No emails. Any Indus questions?
We definitely have Indus questions. We've got a few from a few regulars. Actually, there might have been a couple of irregulars in here. Let me take a look. All right, couple so we got... oh, shit. Where was I? Where's it? We already had that. This is great. Podcasting. Someone talk. Do something. Tell a joke.
Let me off, Johnny.
All right. Naoshin says, does it bother Travis that everybody wants to bone long-haired Ashley? We did this one already, didn't we? Maybe not.
I think we did. Okay. Yeah, we did that last week.
Did we?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, but yes, it still bothers me.
disclaimer, you can't answer. Just sober or is you're going. Okay. Oh, we already did that. Stab, just shot. What would you do? I did that one. Someone, seriously, start talking. Have a conversation.
Wait, what was that one with being stabbed or shot? What was that?
That was what would you rather be stabbed or shot. We did that one last week.
Oh, okay.
Okay. What was the very first CD, DVD, and if you can remember, cassette you ever owned? This comes from Better Tomorrow.
Ooh.
So first CD, DVD. I definitely know the first CD and DVD I've owned, but cassettes, that could be.
Okay, my first DVD is easy.
What's that?
It was a Road Trip.
Oh,
unrated edition. Road Trip was my first DVD.
Okay. Chris, you remember?
I have no idea.
Mine was Blade, I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
Almost positive.
Oh, God. I'm looking at my DVDs on the wall right now, and I'm like, I really don't know which one I got first. But I know that it was at the time that I got my PS2.
My first cassette was... It was either Pink Floyd, The Wall.
Oh, wow.
Or it was, my dad was a DJ, so he made me like a mixtape of all kind of music that I would like. It was either one of those two. And CD? My first CD, Like, how do we, like, it's like maybe parents bought us, or maybe we bought our money.
Whatever, just whatever the first one you ever owned.
First CD I
ever
owned.
Yeah, I don't remember. I don't remember.
My cassette's either out. It's probably an Alvin and the Chipmunks cassette or something, or like a Michael Jackson or something. I can almost guarantee it's actually a Michael Jackson cassette. I just can't. Maybe Thriller, maybe?
Yeah, Thriller. Thriller is definitely one of my earlier cassettes, too. I can't think of the CD.
My first cassettes were like hair metal, I think.
Yeah. My first CD is easy. That's Pearl Jam. Pearl Jam 10 was my first CD.
And what was?
Pearl Jam 10 was my first CD I ever
Pearl owned. Jam 10 I actually bought on cassette when I got my first car.
Wow, nice.
Blood Sugar Sex Magic.
Oh, what an awesome record.
That was good, too.
And then my first CD is probably a replacement of a 311 cassette, I would think. I'm pretty sure.
Ooh, I think I remember my first CD.
What's that?
I know it's the first CD that I bought with my own money. It was, Tragic Kingdom, by No Doubt.
Nice, okay.
Okay.
Yeah, that was one of my first CDs.
After seeing them in concert with 311, probably.
No, I never saw No Doubt in concert, actually.
Really?
Believe it or not, I've never seen them.
Okay. Yeah.
He just loved that Spiderweb song. Nabashin, he writes and says, what's the best color for a console for you guys? Gray SNES, black PS3, white Wii, or vagina pink DS?
Vagina pink DS.
I'm not sure if he's asking which one of these to pick, or if he's asking us, like, our favorite color of console.
I prefer the black for the console.
I do, just because it matches most stuff.
Have you guys seen the pictures of the new Xbox 360 Slim, but the white version? Not the Star Wars one, but the white version?
Yeah.
Is it the same thing, just white?
That's a pretty. It's like a shinier white. It's not like that matte looking white that the old one was. It's pretty sexy.
See, this is the thing. This is what I do all the time. I always think something looks really awesome when I first get it, but when there's a new console with a new color, I automatically think it's sexier. It's always like the grass is greener, no matter what. Like if I had like a white PS3 and they came out like here's a new like the new black PS3, like oh those are so sexy. I need to get one of those.
I like standard black because it fits in with the living room and the room's better and everything.
Yeah,
just other consoles. You know, a bright white just kind of stands out.
And vagina pink Wii. DS, of course, is the best. See, the black Wii is sexy as shit.
The black Wii is sexy as shit. But, I'll agree with that. I still want that fucking R2-D2 360. It's bad.
The only thing is it's ugly. I don't like it.
My 360 is a jet engine that doesn't have an HDMI port. I'm ready for a new one.
That's true. Smack Chop G, he says, would you rather have your nipple ring ripped out, I guess if you had one, or a toenail ripped off? Oh, man.
I gotta go nipple ring. That seems quicker.
I think I do, too.
I think I might, too. I think there'd be less resistance on it, maybe.
Yeah.
If it was like,
I gotta go nipple ring.
And I gotta say that I think it's more likely that... it's just as likely that the nipple ring will break before your nipple does.
Dude.
God.
Plus, you've already gone through the pain of getting your nipple pierced, right. So it's like, how much worse could it be? If it was like a really quick, like, yank, it'd probably be like,
I have a feeling that lingering pain would be less as well.
Yeah, I think your toe, that would just, you couldn't be putting on a sock, you wouldn't be able to wear socks for a while.
No, you wouldn't be able to wear shoes.
That would hurt like shit.
You'd have to get special shoes made with your big toes sticking out or something.
You have to cut like a toe thing out.
You'd start getting like some like stank.
Dude, you know when like you do shit with like a cut and this air hits it and it hurts? That would be like your toe the entire time. Yeah.
Next question, dog.
Yeah, sucks.
Nipple ring for sure.
Jack Bauer, he says, is there a word you can't pronounce no matter how hard you try?
We touched on this earlier.
We did.
Anonymity. Yeah, there you go.
Anonymity.
What was the one that Travis had earlier?
Intolerable. Mine's peculiar. Yeah, that's it. What you said. Peculiar.
And we all know my most famous one, of course, is
regularly.
Yeah,
hence the reg.
I'm pretty good with pretty much everything except for the anonymity. I think that's it. Is that right?
You said it right that time. Yeah.
Okay. Anonymity.
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 Anonymity. Whatever.
Oh man. Anonymity. It's a good thing we're not fucking English teachers.
I know, right?
Got an anonymous. Forget it. Intolerable. Jack Bauer has a follow-up question. I'm gonna read it exactly how you wrote it, Jack. Sorry, I know you probably had autocorrect on your phone, but is there anything little things then piss you off so much you want to punch a kid? Example, loud eaters, slow walkers, Travis.
Fuck you, Jack.
Oh, Travis. Most of mine would have to deal with driving.
Really?
Yeah, yeah, driving. I hate people that don't use turn signals. I hate people that think that they have the ability. I was on the road this one day, and there was this one dude that he would go into the turn lanes and then cut the person off that was in the front of the line waiting at the red light.
Okay, that'd be annoying.
And yeah, that punch a baby. It's annoying as shit, man.
People who eat with their mouth open drive me nuts. Like, do that shit. Or, like, smack their lips. Like, I hate that. It drives me. A lot of old people do that, and it really, really pisses me off. Shit like that. I'm just really like, or like, snorers. Of course, I don't think there's too many people who like snoring. Hey, I can't wait till someone starts snoring. I won't be able to sleep until somebody does. But yeah.
I usually keep like my space with strangers. Like, I'll never really just like talk to someone, especially if it's something like negative or bad with someone that I don't know and never spoke to before.
Yeah.
But I will do it in this situation. I have this. Oh, it just gnaws at me when I'm eating out or any place where people are eating. I'm in an eatery situation, and someone blows their nose. You're at the dinner table.
Yeah.
You get up and you leave the dinner table if you're going to blow your nose.
Yeah.
I don't know if this is something that happens with me, because every time I bring this up, someone says, oh, that's never happened to me. But like, I see it
at least
four or five times a year. Like, it's just, like, really? It always happens. And one time specifically, it got so bad. Like, me and a buddy of mine, Derek, were just, you know, having a beer and, eating some wings. And a guy next to us was just
wailing at it, yeah.
And, you know, the first time, it's like, cleaning out the noggin. The second time, you get up that, you're eating and you hear it and you just lift your head up for a second and you have that look in your face like, no, he did not. Yeah. And then by the third time, like I said, total stranger, don't even know who this guy was, what kind of person. He could have been a psycho for all I imagine.
Mm-hmm.
I look at him and I say, you've got to stop doing that right now. Like, you've got to stop. And it just kills me. Like, I think it's the grossest thing that someone can do in the world. It's like,
oh,
you probably...
Really? That's like some kind of like, I don't know, OCD thing. Not OCD, but...
That's not OCD.
I mean, it's gross, but it's like, I don't think I'd care if somebody did it. If like, it was at the table, like,
I probably wouldn't notice.
Yeah, I probably wouldn't notice either. I don't think that's something that would just be, like, even bring attention.
Oh,
like,
that drives me nuts.
Like, people who chew with a gum with their mouth, that bugs me, like, smack gum. Oh, dude, one of the fucking worst, and I think this is getting worse with age, people who, if you're waiting for a bus or a subway or any kind of public transportation or pretty much anywhere and you're waiting and the bus gets there, then somebody who just, or an elevator even, and someone who just walked in goes right to the front and goes like right in there, or just thinks they can just be like, oh, you know, I just got here, I'm going to go up there.
That happens a lot.
Fucking all the time, and I just want to punch people. I'm just like, fuck off.
Yeah. Yeah.
This, like, dude, we could probably be here forever. We could probably list off a bunch of shit, really.
Absolutely.
As people, I find with like age, I got less and less patience with people. Especially young kids.
Yeah.
Motherfuckers.
There's more personal stuff, too. Like, when I'm playing a video game and I'm getting frustrated.
Mm-hmm.
And then Megan's like, why do you just play to the point where you get mad? Like, that's the point. You're supposed to ask me that.
Yeah,
don't say that. Like, why don't you stop playing? No, I don't want to stop.
No, this is part of why I like doing it. Because I got to conquer what pisses me off.
I won't learn unless I beat it.
So I'm not allowed to hit you right now, but I can beat this game.
You piss me off. I don't leave you, okay?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, shit. Jeff BTW, Better Tomorrow Again, says, if you could pick any time and setting for an Assassin's Creed game, where and when would it be? Mind you, this was yesterday, so it was after the Assassin's Creed 3 like announcement. So, We kind of talked about that already. I think a lot of us said, like, feudal Japan would be cool, or, like...
Feudal Japan, like, would be the...
See, here's the thing about feudal Japan, because they've done that, and it's called Tenchu. Well, but I would
be done well.
I would like Tenchu with the in the Assassin's Creed engine.
Yeah,
you know, with the way that one feels. I mean, I think
that would work really emphasis well. On stealth and stuff like that.
Yeah, I think that could work.
That'd be cool.
And I liked the futuristic idea too. Because there's all kinds of stuff that, you know, that you could implement. You could make it like Deus Ex-ish.
Yeah.
Cross. I'll be honest with you. You can do anything in the future. When you dig deeper into the lore of Assassin's Creed, you find out there's a very advanced civilization that precedes everything from the Templars and the Assassins and everything. I'd like to see something based on that. Because they were like big sprawling cities and everything, you know. I would like to see a little more information on those people, which we probably will get that in Assassin's Creed 3. But I think something taking place in that time would be interesting as well. Like maybe like an Adam and Eve, because there's a lot of Adam and Eve in that time. Like maybe like an Adam and Eve storyline where Adam's like the original assassin or something. Like I would like to see stuff like that.
I'd like to see it in the Mario universe. Stab Toad in the back.
That was awesome.
Throw Yoshi off a building. Yeah, that'd be badass. Navshin says, thoughts on the Mass Effect 3.
Lots of indiscretions today.
Yeah, thoughts on the Mass Effect 3 multiplayer. Minor distraction or something you see yourself going back to in the future.
I didn't even touch it.
I haven't touched it yet either, and I really don't care.
But you know what? It's co-op, so I will likely try it.
But apparently in Mass Effect there are these things where if because it's supposed to allow you to get help you get the best ending when you do the co-op missions and everything. Mm-hmm. So the question was, okay, can you still get the best ending when you choose not to do the multiplayer? And apparently there are special missions called N7 missions, and these are the ways, I don't know what they consist of, but they're heavily story based, but they focus on getting your readiness ready for the Reapers. Without having to do the multiplayer stuff. So
good. Yeah. I don't want to do the multiplayer stuff.
Yeah. That was one of the big things that I read in a preview today about it, was that Casey Hudson specifically said they did not want to make it to where people had to play the multiplayer. If you want to opt out completely, it will not detract one bit from your experience in Mass Effect 3.
Hmm.
So,
okay.
That's pretty good. Cool.
Better Tomorrow says, predict how many times, how many playthroughs of Mass Effect 3 Navshin will complete before year's end. He says my money's on 5. I'll say 4. So now we're going to play through 4 times.
How about this? Let's dig deeper into the more important question, okay? How many times is Jack Bauer going to change his fucking Twitter avatar a day on Twitter? To what?
At least once a day.
It's insane. Like, it drives me nuts. Like, I can't keep track.
That's the hard part, because it's like, exactly, a lot of times I scroll and I see the picture.
I go
and that's
pictures,
like,
yes.
Exactly.
Now we never know who's Jack Bauer, because he changes his avatar so many much.
That's right.
And he complains that I don't change it enough. It's like, there's a reason for that. Everybody knows what my picture looks like.
Exactly. Brand recognition, my friend.
I'll change mine like once every 6 months or something. 4 months. Okay, Biffstix has the last one. Cheetos or Doritos?
Doritos. Get out.
Doritos as well. Unanimous. That's all the end of questions, guys. Cool. Thanks for writing in, guys.
Absolutely.
Keep them coming.
Thank you, guys.
That was a good week. Thanks.
Hey, let's do some question of the week action.
All right.
Yeah, okay.
Get out of here. All right, so question for next week. Mass Effect 3 is coming out, and
it is.
You know, there's been a lot of commotion about it. It wasn't as much of a. It didn't seem like it was as big of a deal with the first two, but it's been a lot of commotion about the opportunity to have a homosexual relationship in this game. So that's kind of what we want to know. How does free sexuality in a game like Mass Effect 3, or you know, any types of game,
Dragon
how does that affect
Age,
your
whatever.
Experience with that game? Drop us a line.
What are your thoughts on that? Like, because I mean, there's a lot of controversy now over this kind of stuff, and every time we see it, and does it bother you? Do you not care about it? Should anyone care about it? We want to know.
Especially you, Oates. the to offend you. You let us know.
Dude, I don't know what that context.
He eats bags of dicks daily. So.
Oh, I see.
He loves it.
To answer the question of the week, send us an email. That address is email@interactivedistractions.com. You can send us a voicemail as well. We actually encourage voicemails very much. You guys should know that. It's a 760-4337.
It's not lead. It's that sweet feet.
That's neat.
You can follow us on Twitter. We are Indus Podcast. You can follow us individually as well. We are Indus Chris, Indus Travis, and Indus Geoff.
That is G-E-O-F-F.
Geoff.
Check us out on Steam, Facebook, and Google Plus. Just search for Interactive Distractions, and you will find us. And that is all I have. Oh, no, it's not. Head over to Retroids and check out our forums. Jump on, have a discussion, you know, start a conversation. And we'll be happy to talk to you guys. We appreciate that. You guys have anything before we go?
I don't think so. Check out browingup.com. That's always fun.
Well, browing-up.
Yeah.
Picking.com.
Hyphen dash.
Yeah. Hyphen dash. Same thing, right?
Yeah.
Not hyphen dash, but hyphen
Browing or dash. Minus up
minus
dot com.
Minus up.
Cool. Also, head over to Interactive Distractions. We got a couple of new reviews up. The content's rolling out. I'll tell you what, man. Chance is on it lately.
He is
and,
writing a review.
Nate
like
is
every,
too,
like,
but Nate is still waiting for me to read his last review that he sent. I just haven't done it yet because I'm a lazy fuck. No, I've just been busy. But I know he put up Saints Row and he put up Reckoning.
Kingdoms of Amalur.
Yeah. So go over and check those out and see what he thought. And that's all I have. So I guess until next week, my name is Chris.
I am Travis.
And I am Jed.
Player Games. We'll talk to you next week.
Later.
Super.